Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from August 24th, 1995.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good morning or good evening, as the case may be, across time zones, stretching from Tahiti and the Hawaiian Islands to the U.S. Virgin Islands, into South America and north to the North Pole. Coast to Coast AM, we still call it. Unscreened, unpredictable, somewhat unreliable talk radio, but lots of fun. You just never know what's going to happen, and I can nearly guarantee this is going to be one of those nights. The USA Radio News, still referring to the straw poll taken in Iowa, the Dole Graham race, and everybody's trying to figure out, is Bob Dole weak? Is Phil Graham strong? I don't think either one is the case. I think Graham did well because Dole is weak, not because Graham is strong. And I can't find anybody in the field to get excited about. Harry Wu is free. Harry Wu, just one man, but indeed a naturalized American citizen, held in a Chinese prison for 2 months, threatening the possibility of the First Lady's visit to a conference on women's rights in Beijing. Women's rights in Beijing. I was in China. You know, that's really kind of cute. Women's rights in Beijing. It's like you can't even say that sentence without smiling or laughing. Sentenced to 15 years for spying, then expelled from the country. China obviously wanted to send a signal. Come on, Hillary Clinton, we want you here. Wu snuck into China several times. While doing a, I guess, heroic thing for human rights, really, you don't sneak into China. I tell you, you don't sneak into China. He did that several times with a little video camera, capturing images of forced prison labor, which, of course, they deny. And this really does not humor the communists at all. They're not a humorous people. When I crossed into communist China here 2-3 months ago, whenever it was, that's the one thing I noticed more than any other. They don't laugh a lot. They're very serious people. Anyway, Bob Dole says she still should not go. Says, quote, "I think if I could give her any advice, she ought to stay right here." But it looks like the White House will indeed announce the trip is on. The First Lady will go to Beijing to talk about women's rights and human rights generally. Do you think she ought to go? Question one. Now that Harry Wu has been sprung, should she go? Should Harry Wu try to go sneak back into China again? And if he does he deserve to get arrested? Shouldn't be sneaking into China. That's bad. Bad, bad, bad. Should human rights be linked to commerce? Now, I guarantee you, you have my word, that China is going to be the 800-pound economic gorilla of the world in another 10 or 20 years. I mean, those who were with me in China here recently know exactly what I'm saying. There is going to be no stopping them. You might slow them down a little, but you're not going to stop them. Now, should commerce be linked to human rights? Should we not have commerce with China because they have what Harry Wu got when he snuck into China to take it, proof of prison labor and that sort of thing? I don't know. All good questions.
get a new view of the world with Coast to Coast AM.
First of all, I want to just thank you for bringing everyone out here to Cornucopia of just phenomenal knowledge. I don't know of anyone else that I've ever listened to in radio that just fills my brain and stimulates me. But, you know, I was listening to the show, and I thought to myself, do you think, George, the common citizen such as you or I really has any hope towards the future of any privacy or anything else?
I think we do. I think eventually so many people will see the light, see what you see what I see, that eventually they're going to say enough is enough. And I think that we do have a future, and we're going to win in the long run. It's going to be bumpy along the way. It's not going to be easy, but we will get there. That's my take, and you know what? As long as I can continue on the airwaves and tell people this, I shall.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from August 24th, 1995.
Windows 95. I played it just right last night, I think, and I waited, you know, it came out at midnight. And I waited until 3 a.m. Pacific time, giving everybody, even here on the West Coast, lots of time to buy it at midnight, run home, load it into their computers. And then for an hour, I opened the line and I asked people how they were doing on it. I want to know today, now just about everybody who was one of the frantic first buyers, and it was a frenzy, a consumer feeding frenzy, generated by probably one of the world's best PR jobs. Matter of fact, Bill Gates was with Jay Leno at Microsoft headquarters in Redmond, Washington. And Bill Gates, you know, it surprises me that Jay Leno would stand there in behalf of all talk show hosts. Not that he's really a talk show host in that sense. But, and allow Bill Gates to say, of course it was in humor, Windows 95 is so easy, even a talk show host can figure it out. Leno just sort of stood there, looking like maybe he was challenged. Anyway, Windows 3.1 and 1.1 is running on 100 million computers, or was, till now. So, you know, all I've got to say is I still haven't done it. I'm still running scared. Have not booted. I've got it. I've got it on CD here, but I've not booted it into my computer, and I'm still going to wait. I went kind of mixed reviews last night. Some people said, well, couldn't find my video card or didn't have a driver for my video card or whatever. And so, you know, I don't know. I can't make up my mind. Somebody did send me a fax late in the show that never got aired. I do not want to get into the Macintosh, the Mac IBM fight. Apple's out there somewhere. But I did get this fax referring to Mac users. Dear Art, these Mac fascists really bug me sometimes. So you pay $4,000 for a Mac, then add a $2,000 board so that it runs like a $2,000 PC. A few years ago, I met a Mac fascist who thought that 16.8 million color capability was only available on Macs. Funny, IBM's running Targa boards had that 2 years before the first Mac came out. Frankly, Mac users are so brainwashed, they haven't got a clue what goes on the PC side. Especially ignorant of the fact that the basic principle of the Mac's visual interface was developed at the Xerox Research Center in Palo Alto in the 70s. And that principle is, make it so someone with kindergarten pointing skills can operate it. Very impressive, Mac. Signed, Jeff. Well, I don't want to get into that fight, and I'm not gonna. But I did think that was cute. second time in 1 week, a major network, ABC, has apologized to the tobacco industry. ABC ate a lot of crow here. The tobacco industry gloated by reprinting the apology in major newspapers. And I don't quite understand the nature of the apology, but it's interesting. The whole issue was that of manipulating nicotine levels. ABC apologized for the story, which I guess from a litigation point of view satisfied the tobacco companies, but added that they stand by their story. So I'm not exactly sure what ABC is doing here. Maybe they're saying, well, we're sorry we ran the story because we didn't want to get into a big legal fight. But really, the story is true. Modern apologies, they're something to behold. Generally, when an individual is involved, the modern apology is not, I'm sorry for what I said or did. The modern apology, the politically correct apology, is to say, I'm sorry if my words offended anyone. Which is also to say, I'm sorry it offended you, but I'm not apologizing to you. A complicated world we live in today, isn't it? Long Island, New York, not so funny. A big fire, West Hampton area, Long Island. It's really on fire now. I don't know if you've seen any of the photographs of the fire raging on Long Island right now, but it's frightening. I shook my mom's tree at midnight, her time on the East Coast, and said, look, is it close? And she said, no, well, it's, you know, to get to me, it would have to jump the bay. So I guess she's okay, you know, but Long Island is, you know, they call it that for a reason. It's an island. And there's but like one road she can get out of there on, so you be very careful there, Mom. This is a very serious fire, very serious. Hurricanes, also very serious. One of the busiest years in all of history. Hurricane Iris and Humberto are moving north and respectively west, probably gathering strength. The remains of Tropical Storm Jerry dumping up to 10 inches of rain on parts of Florida, and we are just now beginning to get to the hurricane season, the barest beginning. This could be something else. NBC did a big story on Flight 7529, the one that just crashed. And generally, you can't do much on talk radio with plane crashes. They are tragic. But this one brings to mind another recent one. There were 9 minutes of pre-crash flight. In other words, for 9 minutes, those people lived a nightmare. At 18,000 feet, when the plane reached 18,000 feet, there was a sudden explosion. One guy said he looked out the window, and the propeller was laying up against the wing. Not good. This plane should have been able to fly on one engine. Obviously, it didn't. They began losing 2,000 feet a minute, eventually becoming 2,500 feet a minute. And finally, the flight attendant, a very brave young lady, told everybody, assume the position. So, for 9 minutes, these people thought they were going to die. Several of them, including the pilot, did. 24, incredibly, you saw the photos, survived. Only because they managed to sort of land in a clearing, and there was a minute or two or a few before the plane exploded into flames, so people got out. But NBC, I thought, asked a rather intriguing question, and that is it possible for someone to walk away from 9 minutes of thinking they're going to die and ever be the same again? And they had some psychologist on there who said, well, you know, about a third of them have no problem. A third of them have mild problems. And a third of them will have problems that will last the rest of their lives. And it's almost unimaginable, knowing that you're going to crash and probably going to die, and I, you know, with 9 minutes left, what would you think? How would you handle it? What would you do? And I wonder what most of them do. You've seen the humorous Airplane series of movies where everybody throws up their hands and panics at the sign. But I kind of doubt, what do I know? I've never been in a plane that crashed, thankfully. But I would imagine people become quiet, thoughtful, scared, all those things. And I wonder how many, by percentage, actually panic. No court in the O.J. Simpson trial today, but it does not matter. It goes on anyway. The screenwriter, who's got the tapes, is now refusing to turn any copies of the Furman tapes over to either Furman's new attorney or the LAPD. She's not turning them over. The district attorney in L.A., Gil Garcetti, said the jury should have the case by late September. Furman is going to be recalled to the stand. Now, this is where it begins to get to be really sticky. When they get Detective Mark Furman back on the stand again, they are going to confront him with these tapes. According to his lawyer, there's a great likelihood he will take the Fifth Amendment. Take the Fifth. Now, I refuse to answer on the grounds that it may tend to incriminate me. Incriminate me. So, when the jury hears this and sees Mark Furman, Mr. Hard Tough Guy, say, I refuse to answer on the grounds may tend to incriminate me, what do you think that jury is going to think about the prosecution's case? Talking heads on NBC had a pretty good point. If these tapes are as bad as it is suggested they are, the prosecution, Marcia Clark, is going to have to go after Mark Furman like a mad dog. I mean, she's going to have to be Marcia Clark at her best. She is going to literally have to join the defense in going after Mark Furman. It's their only chance. Because if the defense, in effect, stays with Furman and gets blown out of the water by Furman, well, the whole case against O.J. Simpson obviously gets blown out of the water as well. 48 hours on CBS tonight. Very, very interesting. It seems in the eastern big cities that there is a move on from crack to heroin. Now, I know this sounds strange. The people down in South America that have been making a lot of crack are switching production now to heroin. Heroin is coming in by the numbers from Southeast Asia, most notably Bangkok, that area. The brand names, you're going to love this, the brand names of the new heroin, so pure that they won't even shoot it anymore. They're snorting it now. Maybe that's why the people are converting. But listen to some of the brand names. Would you do some of this? Tombstone. Poison. Suicide. Or how about body bag? So pure, they say, it's living up to its name. Now, to give you an idea of the difference in purity, heroin that, when I was a kid, you'd hear about people buying, was anywhere between 4 and 6% pure. Now it's 40%, or as much as 10 times the purity it once was. Being sold out in New York in open marketplaces. 14, 15-year-olds standing there, shouting their particular brand name, get your body bag here. Get your suicide here. I've got poison for you. And it's selling like crazy, so I have no idea what we're going to do. I just have no idea what we're going to do about this. All right, let me see. I guess I've got to stop here for a moment and take care of a couple of things, so let me do that. First, let me tell you that as a talk show host, I do a lot of research. I call it homework. I guess that's left over from my school days, homework. It is my homework, and it occurs before the program. Easiest part of the program, by the way, is when I get on the air to do it. The homework part is the hard part. All right, we're going to break here at the bottom of the hour. The stations will accomplish whatever they do at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be right back. I've got more than open lines, live talk radio throughout the night time, right here, unscreened, unpredictable, but fun.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time.
Okay, we've got a lot to do. A couple of more little tidbits for you here. I've got several good faxes. This one just hot off the machine. Dear Art, I am a deputy sheriff, and I've been so for almost 8 years. Today I lost my first drunk driving case out of the more than 125 DUI arrests I've made. It should have been a slam dunk case, but the jury decided to believe the defendant's wife instead of two deputies. As a deputy, I've never lied to anyone, planted evidence, taken a bribe, or covered up for another deputy. Likewise, I've never seen another deputy or officer do any of these things. I think these things do happen, but only on a small scale when compared to the amount of law enforcement activity that goes on in our country. I can't begin to count how many times in the last 2 years I've had to listen to slobbering drunks in the back of my patrol car say things like, "Are you going to beat me like Rodney King?" Or, "I bet you thought Waco was a good thing, huh, cop?" Lately, the comparisons have been with Mark Furman. I sincerely pray the public does not lose their faith and confidence in their police officers based on a few dishonest cops. We will all be the losers except for the criminals. Thanks for letting me vent, Art. I hate that term, he says here. Scott, up in Oregon. That's an interesting, kind of an interesting fact, because I knew it was going on. I knew the whole Rodney King thing and Ruby Ridge and Waco, and now the Furman deal reflects on every cop in this country. And it's sad. It's terribly sad, and I don't even know what to say about it. They're the ones getting the headlines. You know, all the good busts, all the good arrests, all the bad guys taken off the street. We're lucky if we ever read about that. Art, with respect to whether Hillary ought to go to Beijing, I'm reminded of one person who said once about President Nixon's trip to China, I understand he should go to China. What I don't understand is why he should come back. Hi, Art, is it true that Judge Ito canceled court proceedings yesterday because he's busy installing Windows 95 on his computer? Regards, Jed. No, Jed. He attended a funeral, actually. And I've got so much more stuff here. Not time for it. Let us open the lines, and let's just have a good old-fashioned night of you name it. We'll talk about it, talk radio, and I'll kind of fit some of the rest of this in as I can. Boy, I've got some wild stuff here. So here we go. If you would like to call for the first time ever, the number is area code 702-727-1222. That's if you've never called before. And that line's, you know, it's a little easier to, well, actually, it's hard to get in on now, even now, but it is a little easier than the other ones. The wild card lines, direct dial, area code 702-727-1295, 1295. Then, toll-free, west of the Rockies, it's 1-800-618-8255, 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, it's 1-800-825-5033. So easy, even a talk show host can understand it. Boy, that rankles me. Come on, Bill. I should have tried to get Bill Gates on, huh, and interviewed him. 1-800-825-5033, east of the Rockies. East of the Rockies is where we're going. You're on the air, number one. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
This is Tony calling from Wichita, Kansas.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, I really appreciate your show. I think it's one of the most relevant on the air.
Thank you.
Just like to make a comment about Pat Buchanan and some response to your comment that he's a isolationist.
Right.
I see him more as a protectionist.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that because it seems that Japan is the most protectionist country in the world, and they've also got the strongest economy in the world.
For the moment.
Well,
No, and I really mean that for the moment. China is going to make mincemeat out of it. I guarantee you, sir, China will do to Japan in a bigger way and a more damaging way what Japan has done to us. Guaranteed.
So you think we should be more open and in the same way that China's open?
No. I think that we should act in a protectionist way, and here's where my position delineates from Pat's. I want us to act in a protectionist way in order to force markets open, their markets. Japan has been screwing with us for years,
right.
And I thought the president was going to get tough and really do something about it, and he wimped out.
Right.
So I applauded that when I thought it was real. I was sick when I found out it was just a big old bluff and a bunch of noise, usual Bill Clinton stuff.
True.
I would slam on big-time tariffs until they took theirs down, and I would really mean it. However, when they took theirs down, I would take ours down. I am an advocate of free open trade, but fair.
Well, fair enough. I just think, you know, maybe we ought to give him a chance. Maybe we ought to look at his ideas a little bit more closely.
Well, the country is going to do that, and maybe he will modify some of them to some degree. He's, came out third in Iowa, I believe?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. He just seems like he's got a lot of good ideas, and he seems real, you know what I mean?
He is real. Oh, that's absolutely one thing true about Pat Buchanan. Thank you very much. He's real. What he says, he means. There's no doubt about it. Pat Buchanan is an ideologically pure person, and I admire him for that. What I'm trying to do right now is Pat, by the way, has one other stone about his neck. He's done Crossfire and programs like it for so long now that he has made pretty radical, you know, statements from time to time that would be immediately categorized and dredged up on a regular basis by the Clinton campaign if Pat was the Republican candidate. The California governor, I think, came in 1% in Iowa. He's not a contender. I cannot imagine a California governor taking anything at a Republican convention, which is going to be tend to be kind of right wing, as all conventions are anyway. Bob Dole, I don't believe, can beat Bill Clinton. Phil Graham, I do not believe, can beat Bill Clinton. So I'm stuck. I'm not excited right now about anybody. Just me. Maybe that'll change, but for now, Lamar Alexander certainly has not caught fire. Nobody's really caught fire. And I think what Iowa said was that, guess what, folks? Bob Dole is not nearly as strong as everybody said. At least the networks, I always knew he wasn't. And Phil Graham did well, not because Phil Graham is strong, but because Bob Dole's weak. So what did Iowa say? Well, it said basically what I'm saying. Nobody's too excited, really, about anybody. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello? No, you're not. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. This is Mike calling you from Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello, Mike.
I'd like to weigh in on this China thing.
Sure.
I don't buy the idea that giving China commerce will somehow raise the standard of living and thus the political consciousness of the people who live in China. I think that what we'll be doing is enabling them to make more sophisticated weapons and to beef up their armed forces, and they really won't let us influence basic life in mainland China as far as the political ideology. I think the Chinese people need to straighten their act out on their own, and then the rest of the world can welcome them. They have totally trashed Tibet, and nothing is ever said about that.
It's true.
If a situation like that happened in Europe, there would have been a war over it a long time ago already.
Mm-hmm.
And I think due to the fact that they are geographically as isolated as they are over there, they can pretty much do whatever they want to their immediate neighbors and to their, you know, their indigenous population, and the rest of the world will never be able to do anything about it. I mean, that's what China has depended upon for centuries already, is the relative isolation in that corner of Asia.
All right, well, that is one compelling argument. The other compelling argument is, if you have been to China or seen China, as I have, you will know what a formidable force it is going to be. And with as many people as they have in China right now, counted in the billions, not the millions, can the world afford to ignore China? And if we do we do it at our own peril? And I oscillate between these positions.
Well, do you think that if we don't ignore them, that there's something to be said for the fact that we will be making them a more sophisticated society, and that in some ways they may be more dangerous because of that?
Well, I guess I'm an advocate of economic upswing being followed by political change. It seems almost inevitable. And China has changed a little bit, sir, and it's because of the economic change.
Well, you saw it. I mean, I take your word for it. I trust your opinion on that. I'm just wondering if a situation develops where free and open trade to China is the norm, I think that might enable them to get a hold of a lot of technology there right now. They have to go through a lot of back doors to get.
Well, they've already got the bomb.
Well, as soon as they can figure out how to deliver it, then what do we all do?
Well, who says they haven't? Thank you very much for the call. It is a hard call. It's really a hard call, but I've got to tell you that I'm an advocate, I believe, of as long as they don't get crazy, and the Harry Wu case was kind of crazy, as long as there are not more Tiananmen squares, and as long as they appear headed in the right direction, then I would think commerce should continue with China, and that whatever human rights gripes we've got against them, at least then we've got some influence. I'll tell you, if we cut off the commerce, then we have no influence. Nothing at all. No way to crowbar China into doing anything they don't want to do. If there are billions of dollars at stake, then the next time we've got a Harry Wu situation, he too, or they too, will be ejected from the country instead of getting a bullet in the back of the head. So it's a close call, but having influence, I think, is better than not.
Get a new view of the world with Coast to Coast AM.
First of all, I want to just thank you for bringing everyone out here to Cornucopia of just phenomenal knowledge. I don't know of anyone else that I've ever listened to on radio that just fills my brain and stimulates me. But, you know, I was listening to the show, and I thought to myself, do you think, George, the common citizen such as you or I really has any hope towards the future of any privacy or anything else?
I think we do. I think eventually so many people will see the light, see what you see what I see, that eventually they're going to say enough is enough. And I think that we do have a future, and we're going to win in the long run. It's going to be bumpy along the way. It's not going to be easy, but we will get there. That's my take, and you know what? As long as I can continue on the airwaves and tell people this, I shall.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com. You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from August 24th, 1995.
I've got an anti-militia letter here that I'm going to save for the top of the hour, and we'll see what you think of that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Bob from Moses Lake, Washington.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the other day you were talking about the quickening, and I just wanted to say that people like Charlie and Dr. D are good arguments for that happening pretty soon. And I sure hope that Windows 95 is pretty easy so they can use it. And
you think, would you call them architects of the quickening?
Yes, I would. At least a founding stone.
Mm-hmm. Do you have Windows 95?
No, I'm a programmer and I use computers quite often.
Yes.
And I find DOS, I'm just secure with DOS. I don't like Windows. I don't like mouses. I'm a keyboard type user.
I like Windows.
I just never really did. I know, I understand 9 out of 10 people use it, but maybe I'm just...
I do. I like both. I like DOS and I like Windows. And I would be sad not to have DOS anymore.
Yeah.
Now, that's probably... I'll tell you, I've been a ham radio operator all my life. In the early days of ham radio, we operated on AM. Just like, you know, regular AM stations.
Yeah.
And then along came sideband, something called single sideband. Makes you sound a little like Mickey Mouse. But it was far more efficient, did not use as much frequency, or bandwidth, so more people could be on. It went farther, more efficiently, but I couldn't stand it. I loved the good old quality of AM, and I resisted for years and years and years. And just like I'm kind of resisting Windows 95 right now. All right, thank you very much. I'm just kind of stuck in my ways. Maybe that defines conservative. I don't know. Maybe that's the conservative part of me. I've been so close. I'm telling you. I put Windows 95 in there, and I pushed the button, and I've done the first initial things. And it's good because it always gives you the chance to chicken out and restore, and every time I've taken that opportunity and I've chickened out and moused out, you might say. Wild card line, you're on the air.
Hi there, Art. Hello. I haven't talked to you for a while. This is Nikki in Belltown.
Washington, yes.
Yes. By the way, only two blocks from the Wheel of Fortune Space Needle.
Is the Wheel of Fortune still on it?
Well, you can't see it.
I think
actually Vanna White was on top of the Space Needle for photos, and I'm sure it's probably already gone by now. I'm calling about, I'm interested in studying maps, and I found Montserrat Island.
A Montserrat, yes.
Yes, and...
And by the way, I saw something, boy, I'll tell you, it looks bad.
Yes, it does, it does. So I think that's interesting. It's in the same chain there with Mount Pelée.
Yes.
Is that how you say it?
Pelée.
And that went off, so,
yes.
You know, like gangbusters a long time ago. I'll call another time when we're not so close to the hour because I... have a theory on the Noah's Ark.
Oh, you do?
Yes, and I have some information, but it makes sense to me. When, you know, I mentioned I study maps, and the theory that I have bought into makes sense.
All right. Well, we will do it another time. Noah's Ark. Can you imagine that on Mount Ararat? A ship larger than the Queen Mary. Now, what would that be doing up the top of Mount Ararat? What do you suppose it would be doing there? How do you suppose it got there? Interesting questions. Right back.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
Harry Wu is out. That may mean the First Lady is in. This is Nutshell News. They're selling a lot of heroin in New York. Brand names like Tombstone. Now, oh yeah, give me a bag of Tombstone. Poison, suicide, body bag. No, there's a good one. How about a little white powder called body bag? So pure it's being snorted. Not even shot with a needle anymore. Southeast Asia, the main supplier, and the Colombians are gearing up. Windows 95 is out. It was the world's best PR job. The only objection I had to the whole day was Bill Gates with Jay Leno, who said, Windows 95 is so easy, even a talk show host can figure it out. I wonder what Jay Leno's comeback to that was, or he even had one. They showed it on the news, and it looked like Jay Leno just sort of stood there as, duh. But I'm sure that's not the case. They just didn't include his retort. Hopefully he had one. Have you yet loaded Windows 95? Do you like it? There was a big discussion on Crossfire yesterday, and they had some guy who thought the computer is the devil's tool, who thinks the computer is replacing personal relationships, who thinks the computer is isolating us from each other, who thinks the computer is evil. And there is a case that can be made for that. I'm not going to make it, but he did. And in a sense, it does tend to isolate us. I'm very thankful for it. Without computer and satellite technology, I could not do what I do. That is, broadcast comfortably from my own home, here in the middle of the desert, truly as much in the middle of nowhere as you can be, and yet at my fingertips have all the news services, all the newspapers and internet connections and websites and satellite television news and CNN and, everything I use to compile the information for the program is made possible by this kind of technology. So I'm going to be the last person to attribute it to the devil. But this guy did. And you may want to respond to it. Maybe it's even part of the quickening. I don't know. I'm open-minded. In the O.J. Simpson trial, the screenwriter is not turning over the tapes to anybody, including Furman's new lawyer or the LAPD. Gil Garcetti says trial ought to go to the jury by late September, they're now calculating. Detective Furman's going to go back on the stand, his attorney saying he may take the Fifth Amendment. That's going to go over like a lead balloon with a jury, I'm sure. I said I would read this at the top of the hour, and so I'm going to. It is an anti-militia thing from Al up in Medford, Oregon, which is really kind of the home to a lot of this sort of thing. Art Bell, I've heard a lot of noise recently about the constitutional right of citizens to form militia groups in the country. Have you noticed how the proponents of militia groups seldom refer to phrase in the Constitution, well-regulated militia, when they try to justify their existence? They usually just refer to the fact that militias are allowed by the U.S. Constitution. I really doubt that our founding fathers had intended for private citizen militia groups to well-regulate themselves. Yet, this seems to be the position the groups take. In fact, nowhere in the Constitution does it say these militia groups were to be made up of self-appointed private citizens. I feel our founding fathers had intended for our various levels of elected officials to form and regulate the militia groups that would protect, defend, and enforce the laws of the various jurisdictions. These would be our police departments, state police, county sheriffs, and National Guard. I don't think the drafters of our Constitution had in mind paranoid, gun-toting malcontents who hide behind the title of patriot. Their pirating of and the use of this word is beginning to give it a bad connotation. Perhaps the title, in quotes, overgrown Boy Scout with a bad attitude, end quote, would be more appropriate. Al from Medford. Dear Art,
You've got to understand, I don't pre-read these, so sometimes it's a little hard to read what people write. Where is a wheel? It is a wonder to me why anyone would find reports that Seattle's needle has been altered to resemble Pat's wheel to be surprising. Seems the total commercialization of American fixtures and fashion is imminent. Consider the entire genre of the game show. These popular programs exist for most intents and purposes as half-hour advertisements for their sponsors. Under the guise of presenting prizes to contestants, the Wheel of Fortune succeeds in selling much more than vowels. So, does the suggested modification of a landmark surprise me? No. It does, however, leave me to consider the possibilities of what could follow. Will Miss Liberty's torch be replaced by a Coke and a smile? Might it be that Mickey's likeness will appear as an addition to Mount Rushmore? And finally, could Minnesota's Mall of America be declared a national monument? I guess Pat, Vanna, and the rest of us will just have to wait and see. I, unlike last night's caller, Crystal, do not interpret your attitude with regard to the late Texas millionaire Final Fling to be sexist or offensive. As a woman in my early 20s, who is fortunate to be blessed with both intelligence and good looks, I am flattered by your appreciation of feminine charm. Perhaps it will flatter you to know that you are the only man that I choose to share my bedroom with nightly. And doing so brings me great pleasure. Signed, Tanya in Cogotown, San Diego. P.S. In response to recent events discussed on the show that you have attributed to the quickening, one resounding sentiment comes to mind. Mama never said there'd be days like this. Yeah, Mama never did. Though my mom is having quite a day of her own, she lives out on the tip of Long Island, where, as you know, wildfires are presently raging. And I actually talked to her at the bottom of the last hour, and I was going to let her go on the air and talk to you, but she said, you already told them what they need to know. To get to my mom, it would have to jump over the bay, and it's not going to do that. Those fires are really bad, so keep your eyes and ears open, Mom.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com.
Get a new view of the world with Coast to Coast AM.
At this point, I'm not happy with the direction that government is taking us. I'm happy with the fact that Americans are beginning to wake up and stand up and do what they have to do and shout and scream and blog. And I think that's critical. And I think that's what's going to save the republic. I think in the long run, as we go through all this stuff, it's the people who will save us and our country will remain strong.
You are listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from August 24th, 1995.
I've got a prediction from a listener here for you in a moment, but right now, back to the unexpected. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello, Art. I just wanted to say that your fellow that wrote you from Oregon about the militias
probably misses the point when he lumps together the sheriffs and the National Guard, and because actually these people have different jurisdictions and different things that they deal with, and lumping them all together as some sort of unified police force is kind of a phony concept. So I think he sort of misses the point.
They do, however, work together.
Well, that's true, and hopefully when they work together, the result won't be something like Waco.
Well, hopefully, but that is exactly what the result was. That began with the BATF, as I recall, involved local law enforcement, and then the FBI, I believe, and even certain aspects of the military.
Yeah, and actually it seemed to me that it should have stopped at the local level. But I wanted to talk about tobacco and the war on tobacco. It seems to me that the Stamp Act was the definitive thing that really got the American Revolution going, and that tobacco played a huge part in this country being able to win its independence from England. And I think it's kind of interesting that this president has chosen to attack tobacco in such a way, and that actually tobacco is one of the, like it or not, one of the foundations of this country.
All right, sir, thank you. I wonder about the Canadians. Now, I get calls from Canadians, and they say, you know what we pay for a pack of cigarettes up here, Art? $4 or $5. Try and imagine that. $4 or $5 for a pack of cigarettes. Now, I imagine that's done a lot to curb smoking. I wonder what they do up in Canada. I mean, the person who smoked an average of, say, a couple of packs a day in Canada, that's a $10 habit a day. How could you handle that? Might roll your own, I suppose. I don't know. Such an incredible price. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art. This is Owen from Princeton, Minnesota.
Hello, Owen.
Now, it's kind of slow as far as news is concerned.
It is. Generally in August, you know, Congress is away. The president's out doing whatever he's doing on vacation. And, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I thought I'd take this opportunity to ask you a question that I've always wanted to know. You've been on the air here in Minnesota probably about a couple months now.
About that.
And I've always wondered, what's the alien line, Art?
Never heard the alien line.
Well, you might have had it on the air, but I probably wasn't a listener then. I don't know for sure, but I've never heard it.
No, the alien line, it's right that you would bring this up, because it's been a long time. Maybe I should open it up. The alien line is when I restrict a line to only aliens.
Well, don't open it up tonight, because then I'd want to call it.
You're trying to tell me you're an alien?
Well, some would say.
Some would say. Now, you're either, look, being an alien is not a half kind of thing. You're either an alien or you're not.
Well, something.
Are you? See, you're really not, are you?
No, I'm not.
You're just a strange human.
But,
No, that's what it is. I open a line, and only aliens are allowed to call it. And it never wants for callers, let me tell you. So it's a lot of fun. Maybe I'll do it.
Okay, all right.
Would you want me to do it?
Well, I can't hear you very well tonight. Maybe tomorrow night. You're not coming in very good.
Why not?
We're having a big storm here in Minnesota.
Oh, I see. All right. All right. Maybe tomorrow night then. Friday night, Saturday mornings are typical good alien line nights. So if you've never heard it, maybe I'll do it tomorrow night. Listen to this prediction. Take it for what it's worth. 10:19 p.m., 24 August, 95. Dear Art. This is from Charlotte, by the way, who I respect on a lot of levels. Re-earthquake prediction. I may be wrong, but usually am not. Within the next 48 hours from the above time, let me give it to you again, 10:19 p.m., 24 August, 95, we can expect significant volcanic and or earthquake activity. Unfortunately, I am not able to pinpoint locations, but usually I pick up an approximate north-south axis from Portland area until it reaches Southern California, then spread southeast and southwest in a fan pattern. I have been able to predict volcanic and earthquake activity for 18 years, and it is getting more and more concentrated, with severe physical and different symptoms relating to each type of event. I realize it sounds odd, but I believe you have a mind open to all possibilities, so please note the time and date. And if an occurrence happens, it will be confirmed. If not, I was wrong this time. Okay, there you've got it, Charlotte. On the record, wild card line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. This is Crystal in Seattle.
Crystal in Seattle.
Two nights in a row. Wow. Actually, I didn't call to defend myself. I heard your fact that you just read from that woman down there. And actually, you know, I love men. And I'm really proud of being a woman, too, and I love being a woman. And, you know, I wanted to say something, too. I think, like, last night, I probably sounded like some of your sharp listeners probably thought, you know,
that you sounded like a feminist.
Like a what?
Feminist.
Well, like a contradiction in terms. In other words, I said I was 45, but I look like I'm 35, and I was attacking men for being attracted to form, and that's kind of like I was defending myself, too, for being the age that I am. But, you know, men are, you know, exposed to, you know, thousands of pictures of beautiful women, you know, in the media all the time. So,
yes.
No wonder they get...
You know who I really like more than anybody else right now?
Who?
You know, do you watch CNN at all?
I don't have cable, no.
Oh.
I'm not a television...
Have you ever seen the little girl who works for one of the other phone companies, and she peeks out from behind a computer, and she says, AT&T... You're not going to like this.
Oh, I hate that commercial.
Oh, but she's so cute.
Well, see, now this is sexism. This is why you were defending Packwood. Oh, a little kiss. But, you know, the women go into the workplace to perform, and men are always judging them on how they look. Oh, she's so cute. You know, men love a little pat on the butt. Yeah, that's great. But
wait a minute now. She's so cute is a long way from a pat on the butt.
But that's the next step.
You know, oh my, yeah, well, right, so's heroin from milk. Come on now. Have we really come to the point in this country where somebody can't say something like that, oh, she's so cute, without being accused of being a Packwood?
Well, see, women, though, you see, men don't understand, the majority of men don't understand that the women go in the workplace, they want to perform, they want to do a good job, and if men are just judging them on their looks, women are like a beauty contest every day of their lives. Men are always judging them first thing on how they look. Oh, she's so cute or whatever. You want to go in there and you perform and do your job well.
Well,
but that's not that. Go ahead.
Well, look, maybe she does a wonderful job, you know, and I'm not saying that she does not. I'm referring now to this little operator. She's probably even a model. I doubt she's maybe she is a real operator. I don't know. So who cares? But, I mean, what's the matter with just saying she's cute?
Because it judges the woman on her look. And men, you know, that's, you want to be judged on your performance. That's the thing.
Well, then do what I do. Go on radio, not television. All right, listen.
That's not why I called. My understanding is that you were not for this women's conference in China.
No, not only no, but hell no. China has about as much regard for women's rights.
Well, of course. That's exactly why you want to have it there. You go to the source. What point would it be to have a women's conference in Scandinavia where women are equal with men, where I am, my ancestors are from?
Well, maybe because the chief criticisms are going to be of China. China is now beginning to regret that it ever invited them there in the first place because of exactly what I just said. They're going to get blasted.
Well, yeah. So
they'd be lucky if a bunch of them don't get arrested.
Yeah, and you know, and the other thing I wanted to say in regards to them becoming an economic power, it may happen, but they're also going to have a huge problem because their sexism, of course, baby boys are valued. Families are only allowed to have one child, and they value the baby boy. So all these baby girls are being abandoned in orphanages.
A lot of them are just being drowned like puppies.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then many women here.
Listen, Crystal, I'm out of time. Send me a picture, and I'll let you know if I think you're cute.
Oh, I'm at 9.5. I'm taking off a half a point because of my age.
Goodbye, Crystal.
Bye-bye.
Anybody else know the girl I'm talking about in that commercial? And then the crowning moment is, after she's delivered this message to AT&T, she has this little smile that, and I can only figure the AT&T executives absolutely go bonkers when they see it. It's sort of a gotcha have a nice day, AT&T kind of smile. And I think she's cute as button. We'll be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from August 24th, 1995.
You know, here's a fax that I would have read. Actually, it's pretty good fax. It's from Jack of California. But Jack made a big mistake. He wrote at the end of the fax, "You can't deny this truth and don't dare read this on the air." Jack, I don't rise to that bait anymore. You know what I do with faxes that say, "You won't dare read this on the air"? What I do with them. I don't rise to that bait anymore. So those of you who want me to read a fax on the air, don't write down on the end, "You won't dare read this on the air," because you're right, I won't. It has nothing to do with a dare. It has to do with no longer rising to the bait. Art, good taste. You, me, and a friend were discussing how much we would switch, how we would switch to MCI in a heartbeat. That's it, MCI. That's got the girl. If they just had her call us personally, smiles Shidosha from Omaha, Nebraska. And Art Bell, I agree that no one in the Republican Party has caught fire. Consider that such is the case with most of talk radio being conservative, with day-to-day bashing of Clinton. Yeah, I know. Yet, at this time, he is enjoying very strong popularity. Does this mean that talk radio has no influence? Or does it mean the voters are more liberal than conservative? I don't believe Clinton can beat the polls in 96. As a matter of fact, by 96, I believe the Republicans will be voted out of office in great numbers. I do believe the Christian right will have moved into a third party. Perhaps it will be United We Stand. I agree with you on China. They will walk through Japan and have a great impact on the Western world by the year 2000, from Ramon. It is true. They will. Nothing is going to stop it. The world might be able to slow it down a little bit by not dealing with China. But in the end, China is going to do what China is going to do. And, you know, if you doubt that, go take a visit, go take a look, and it'll be a revelation for you, believe me. Dear Art, with the revelation of the Furman tapes, the Simpson trial will fail in the district attorney's attempt at conviction. It's an all-too-obvious conclusion. After the people, taxpayers of L.A., and former Detective Herman are done enriching the wallets of Mr. Cochran, Bailey, and of course, Mr. Simpson, what happened in the civil lawsuit of Rodney King versus the City of Los Angeles will be seen to be a nuisance suit. By the way, the cost will be the potential lost income of Mr. Simpson's commercial value for the rest of his natural life. You know, that could be true. Everybody talks about the potential civil liabilities on all sides of this, but have they thought about a real acquittal? And then Mr. Simpson's civil position. In other words, he could go after the city, couldn't he? I would suppose, if it is a complete acquittal. Dewberry, huh, in Texas. Dear Art, I'm up and running. It was relatively easy as compared to the beta version, meaning Windows 95. A little tip before you install is take out all of your TSR programs from memory. Change your swap settings to temporary. They already are. You shouldn't have any problem with installation after that. Glad to hear about Dreamland coming to WOAI land on Sundays, and indeed it is. This Art, I think from Houston, Texas, checking through the NARTSH directory, I found no listing for you under talk broadcasters or CBC under syndicators. Have you and CBC been approached for membership? No, you know, you see, it's an interesting thing that we have done with this program, and we are going to continue to do it this way. A lot of the talk show hosts out there go running from convention to convention. They're at every NAB convention. They go shooting off to appear before C-SPAN. They join all these various organizations. I am not a joiner. So we don't do that. We just keep trucking and doing what we're doing. And it's working just fine, thank you very much. So we're not joiners. And that's the name of that tune.
Get a new view of the world with Coast to Coast AM.
First of all, I want to just thank you for bringing everyone out here to Cornucopia of just phenomenal knowledge. I don't know of anyone else that I've ever listened to on radio that just fills my brain and stimulates me. But, you know, I was listening to the show, and I thought to myself, do you think, George, the common citizen such as you or I really has any hope towards the future of any privacy or anything else?
I think we do. I think eventually so many people will see the light, see what you see what I see, that eventually they're going to say enough is enough. And I think that we do have a future, and we're going to win in the long run. It's going to be bumpy along the way. It's not going to be easy, but we will get there. That's my take, and you know what? As long as I can continue on the airwaves and tell people this, I shall.
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, fine. Art?
Yes.
Is this Art?
Art Bell.
Oh, wonderful. You know, this is the first time I've ever called. I always wonder why you advertise mattresses, because once they get hooked on you, no one ever gets to bed anymore.
Well, look, look now, you've got to remember, a good night's sleep is just an expression, and a good day's sleep is every bit as good as a good night's sleep.
I know. Well, you know, the first night I ever heard you was when Gordon Michael Scallion was on.
Ah, yes.
That was quite a night to be introduced to your program, and... And I also heard you say something about, the reason I called was you had mentioned something about Pat Robertson, and he is writing a book called The End of the Age, and in it is a lot of the things that Gordon Michael Scallion is talking about. However, his is more probably from a religious side, but it's amazing how both people of the religious side and the people of, you know, just people that are wondering about what's happening in the world are all getting the same kind of a feeling that something is in the air.
I know. There's no question about it. Something is in the air.
Well, one of the things that was really interesting that he said, and I didn't realize that, was that the Kobe, Japan quake came a year to the day of the Northwood quake. Mm-hmm. It was quite of a coincidence.
Is your inclination to party or pray?
Pardon?
Is your inclination to party or pray?
No, I am. I know this isn't a religious program or anything, but
no, it isn't.
No, I am I am taking it as God warning us.
All right. Where are you, by the way?
Oh, I'm in Redding, California.
Redding?
Yes.
All right.
Of course, I live in California where all these things. He was also talking about a meteorite. This is before I even heard this, that we had a near miss. I'm sure you've heard that from your astronaut friends, that we have had a near miss, what they call a near miss in our constellation area.
Yes, several of them.
And that, and of course, mm-hmm. nobody would tell us. They wouldn't tell us because of panic. But he did say that, you know, if one even 3 miles wide went into the, well, the scientists say, he didn't say that, went into the Gulf of Mexico, I don't know whether he means the waves or what it was, but it would extend up to Missouri. Does that sound logical to you? So I'm thinking about Hale Bopp, you know, and it's, what was it, 100 miles across or 133 miles across?
100, a minimum they're saying now of 100 miles
right.
across. Others have said as much as 1,000. Thank you very much for your call. Either way, it wouldn't matter. The estimated size of the ones, the one that did in the dinosaurs, I think was about 5 miles. So, what more should I say? Actually, I will read. Art, you didn't do your homework. The Washington Times is owned by Sung Mung Moon. Are you a Mooney? I'm very disappointed. Gary Kodiak. No, Gary, I've known that for years now. Gary, it makes no difference. Look, the Washington Times prints the truth. The Washington Times print stories that other newspapers simply are afraid to hang on to. So, I don't care who owns it. I care about the content of it, Gary. And I think it's pretty widely known that that is the case. And so what? Am I a Mooney? Gary, I'm a Mooney. You mean you didn't know I was a Mooney, Gary? I'm a CIA operative as well. I'm 34.3 levels above top secret. I have my own private bathroom at the Council of Foreign Relations office. And I'm a Mooney. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Turn your radio off, sir.
It's off.
No, it's not.
Actually, it is. My TV's on. Now that's off.
Okay, good. Where are you?
Sioux Falls.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota. KSOO.
That's right.
All right, this is your moment.
Is this Art?
Call the wild card lines, area 702-727-1295. Sir, you just hit a touch tone.
I'm sorry.
I've got a request. You don't do that again.
All right, I'm sorry.
Okay, so now you...
You know the girl that you were talking about that sticks her head out from AT&T on an AT&T commercial?
No, it is an MCI commercial.
Sorry, an MCI commercial?
Yes, uh-huh.
Here's a trivia question for you. You know what movie she played in?
No.
Uncle Buck.
I never saw Uncle Buck, so I don't...
If you see it, you'll see her. She's the oldest daughter.
I'm sorry, I never even heard of the movie.
John Candy?
Is it an old movie?
No, in the last 5-6 years. It's a comedy with John Candy.
Okay.
Okay, then
well,
I have
anyway,
a question for you on O.J.
Well, before we leave her...
Okay.
Is she cute or what?
Oh, yeah, she's a sweetheart.
Yeah, all right.
She's a little sweetheart, and she's a sweetheart in the movie.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, then I'm going to have to go look up Uncle Buck, I guess. All right,
with John Candy. She's got
right.
the cutest smile you've ever seen.
Yep, all right. Now, on to...
O.J.
O.J.
Okay, let me ask you something. If that ends up in a hung jury and they go to retry him, if the state elects to...
Gil Garcetti has said if it's hung and it's even one juror, he'll retry.
Well, let me ask you a question. How on earth will they ever find 12 people to for jury or alternates? If they sequestered this one for the whole trial, the whole nation is seeing...
It's true.
This trial, how could they ever find a jury at this time again that could be impartial or say that they've never heard of it?
It really is a very good question, and one to which I don't have the answer. I would like to say there are people out there that have totally ignored O.J. Simpson, but I don't think that's possible.
I don't think it's possible at all. I mean, on every news hour, every place you go, there's something on or an update or... late night or whatever. There's always something on.
Well, is it not interesting that for a long time they were losing jurors right and left, but you notice that lately they have not been losing jurors?
They can't. They lose any more juries. What do they only have, two alternates left?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just curious, how could they ever find anyone to say, no, they don't know anything about the trial? And by now, I would think that most people that watch that or follow it have come to some sort of conclusion in their own mind already, haven't they?
Speaking of cute girls, did you... they did an interview with one of the jurors, a black woman.
I saw it.
Did you? I thought she was the most soft-spoken, warm, pleasant kind of person that I've seen in a long, long time. She was really a nice lady.
But did they ever establish exactly why she supposedly had written a note or was going to write a book or something?
No, I wasn't clear on that. She is going to write a book. Said so.
Yeah, but she wasn't real clear on why she was kicked off of the jury either.
No, but her comments were all very interesting, thank you, including those about the other jurors and all the rest of it. I thought, my God, what an intelligent woman. Beautiful as well. Soft-spoken, very pleasant personality. And I cannot remember her name. It doesn't matter. The interviews were all over television yesterday. CNN was doing them. Very, very good interview. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Great timing. This is Elizabeth in Vancouver.
Hi, Elizabeth.
How are you?
Very well.
I wanted to talk about, I wanted to refute Radio Free Oklahoma on the ARC, but I think I'll keep that for a minute and talk instead about the connection between the Chinese and the millennium.
All right.
But first, maybe a little one-liner. If computers are the ultimate evil, then Bill Gates is the...
the devil himself.
I was going to say the Antichrist. That's what they're saying out here.
Are they really?
Well, just on local radio.
Well, yeah. What do you think about computers in general? Are they God's gift to a man, to mankind, or are they something awful?
The only software that counts is between your two ears.
Mm.
The rest is just machinery. I wanted to say something about the Chinese. Do you appreciate the fact that the Chinese do not have any concept of the end of the world and what kind of psychological advantage that culture will have over us because we're going to be embroiled, bogged down in this kind of anticipating the end of the world malaise that happened in the year 1000 in Europe and is inevitably going to happen again?
I don't think it's going to end.
I don't think it's going to end. I think you appreciate the psychological advantage
yeah.
that Chinese culture is going to have because they see time as an ever-cycling future, you know, cycling through the seasons. I mean, they're going to be up and producing, and we're going to be bogged down in Gordon Michael Scallion, about which I have a revelation, incidentally.
Oh.
But I mean, I'd like to have you respond to that. I mean, what do you think we're going...
Well, I think, yes, they would deal with it...
pragmatically.
Absolutely. No question about it.
And you are aware that in the year 1000 in Europe went crazy anticipating the return of Christ, and
mm-hmm.
flagellanti went through the street beating each other on the back in conga lines and with whips. Are you aware of that?
No.
Europe went crazy in the year 1000. You know, that's why I wanted people to know that this is the first year of the third millennium. But one thing about Gordon Michael Scallion, and this is a revelation that I'd like to share.
Yes.
This is very dangerous stuff. These, you know, millennial, millenistic, apocalyptic, Armageddon kind of scenarios are very dangerous in a quantum universe. If this were a Newtonian, deterministic universe where events were fairly fixed, it would be harmless. But we live in a quantum universe where the future is recreated at the microscopic, at the micro level, at every instant. And these messianic scenarios are very dangerous.
Nevertheless, and I don't necessarily disagree with you regarding the danger, I think he's right.
I think that he could be right and that we're participating in this. And, you know, I'll call in about the quantum vacuum and our connection to God thereby. But I'd like to leave your listeners with another little quiz, one-liner, if you don't mind.
All right.
If we abandon the bad math Christian calendar that I talked about last night with its missing year
yes.
and retrieved our classical European calendar,
yes.
what year would it be? Thanks a lot.
You're welcome a bunch. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
Hello.
Postman calling from Memphis.
Memphis, Tennessee. Yes, sir.
How are you doing this morning?
Just spiffy.
I agree with you about the gal on the commercial.
No, you do.
Listen, I have a question for you. You've seen the commercials for Windows 95, haven't you?
Actually, you know, I've not. I mean, I've seen a lot of promotional stuff for it, but I don't think I've seen the official ad, whatever that is.
Okay. Well, you know they use the Rolling Stones song.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. In fact, Bill Gates tried to sing it yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, just a little comment about that song.
Bill Gates should not try to sing for the same reasons that I do not.
Oh, I didn't hear it, so I don't know. But there's a line out of that song that they don't. It's about the point that they sing it, but they skip to another line.
Yes.
You make a grown man cry.
Right.
Can you not relate?
Well, I know. They referred to that last night on NBC.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
They did. Oh, yes, they did. You make a grown man cry. And they said, and indeed, Bill Gates is crying all the way to the bank.
Oh, well, yeah. Let me ask you one last question.
They estimated it'll yield about $3 billion for Microsoft.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
The Tuesday morning show that was great about the check.
Oh, the check, yes, uh-huh.
There was a caller that came on the third hour.
Yes.
I swear it sounded like him, Bill Gates.
It sounded like, well, maybe it was Bill Gates. Who knows? All right, we've got to run. News coming up at the top of the hour. You're listening to the best in live overnight talk radio. I'm Art Bell.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Somewhere in Time.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. Good morning. If you are just joining us at this hour, that's too bad. We've had a couple of fun hours here, and you might call the station that carries this program and ask them to carry the beginning of it. Actually, it's 5 hours long. It begins at 11 o'clock Pacific Time, and so we now enter the third hour. And it's just kind of an open line night, as it is going to be tomorrow night. So, if you would like to call us, here we are. Talk radio at its best, its most unexpected, spontaneous, even at times weird. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Art. How are you?
I am okay.
Great. You're doing pretty good. All these questions what you're asking, this recalling of the witness.
Oh, you mean of Mark Furman?
Yeah. Well, you see, what I worried about there was first, if I can spend a minute with you. You see, tapes in a courtroom.
Yes.
Is basically inadmissible because.
No, it isn't.
Well, let me try to explain.
No, sir, it is indeed admissible. Recordings made over the telephone without one's permission are inadmissible.
Well, if there's special circumstances, the reason being that a tape could be modified. In other words, might be your voice, might not be your voice. Might not have been asleep or under hypnosis when you made it, or in special circumstances.
Well, it may be, sir, that Mark Furman was in a hypnotic trance for 10 years while he did all the interviews, but I doubt it. the if you add up the reaction of the defense, predictable, you know, this is chilling, it's awful, it's terrible, you would expect them to say that. But then if you listen to Marsha Clark and you look at the expression on her face, she knows that it's what the defense says it is. And then if you add on top of that the fact that Mark Furman has now got himself a criminal lawyer, and that attorney is saying he will, in great likelihood, take the Fifth when he takes the stand, I would say that would add up to a big problem for the prosecution. And with regard to admissibility, that judgment will be made on content, not any question of legality regarding whether it would be inadmissible because it was taped. No problem there. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, I didn't expect to be on.
Well, then, should I move on to another call, or do you want to be on?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm Jerry from L.A.
Hello, Jerry.
Hi. You say you don't believe that there's a secret government?
If there is, let me put it this way. If there is a secret government manipulate, you know, the hidden hand, manipulating our president and other presidents around the world, it's doing a lousy, lousy job.
Well, I'll tell you what the secret government's name is, or one of the arms of the secret government's called the Octopus.
No, the Octopus, yeah. Well, you'd have to have a lot of hands because there's a lot of countries to control. Right?
Yeah. Hey, you know, we're coming up, on the age of Aquarius, and...
I thought that was some time ago. Dawning of the age of Aquarius, remember that?
Well, actually, it's coming up.
Okay.
That's supposedly what we're in Pisces right now, and we're moving into the Aquarius.
This is the dawning of the. Right?
I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous. With Watergate.
Watergate.
And Whitewater.
Whitewater.
Yeah, it's almost like there's almost a connection.
Well, there is. There's water.
Yeah.
There's water in both of them. Whitewater, Watergate, and the Octopus. I am a 34-degree octopus, sir, so bear that in mind next time you call me. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Where are you?
Pardon?
Where are you?
Aurora, Colorado.
Okie dokie.
And is this Art Bell?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I had marked on my calendar the 28th of August that there was going to be a program on television.
And so there shall be on the Fox Network with the Roswell autopsy film.
And what time will that be, do you think?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Check your local listing.
I did check it, and I couldn't see anything that looked familiar or looked like it might be that.
Well, maybe they didn't have an opportunity to get it in the TV listings. I don't know.
You don't know whether
it'll be Monday the 28th, though. And so just start rolling a VCR and let it roll.
Okay. And also, that lady that you were talking to about how cute the little girl was on
the MCI commercial.
Yeah. I think she needs to lighten up a little bit. She's so serious about her job, and I don't see anything wrong with saying those little girls are cute at all. And I know back when I was young...
Well, I know Crystal will hate it, but my comment was not with regard to her job performance.
No, no. And I think that, back when I was young, there were a lot of things like that were flirting in, and...
Yeah, I know. These days, though, ma'am, those are the things that make up lawsuits, you see.
I know, and it was quite a compliment to be flirted at. And it's too bad that... we've lost that.
We have lost that, and that's why you and I are going to die and leave the planet to the people who will sue each other for even staring at one another.
I know, and there's, of course, a lot of girls and women, females, that are kind of asking for it with these wonder bras and short skirts and all, and so they've got to expect some of this. But I call it flirting more than harassment.
Well, you know, it's a very good point that you make when you talk about the Wonder Bra. Now, I've never said a word about that, but I did see it on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
It can it claims it can make women into incredible-looking beings. And if women don't want to be regarded as sexual objects,
mm-hmm.
then why would the Wonder Bra be selling like crazy?
I know. I
think conflict.
They're just asking for some attention or something, but flirting is what I call it, rather than harassment. And I think a lot of these cases that they're being, men are being sued and such, and are not really harassment.
I appreciate your call. Yeah, there was a day when you could flirt. It didn't mean you pawed. It didn't mean that you French kissed. It just meant that you flirted. But, you know, that, of course, today has become a subject for arbitration and courts and attorneys and just unbelievable. Sad, actually. Sad. So there you are. It's the present state of the world. And I don't care. I think she's cute as a button. The minute you say something like that, somebody calls you up and accuses you of being sexist or something. She is cute as a button. I'm talking about the little girl who peeks out from behind the computer in the MCI commercial and says, AT&T, are you there? Are you listening? You know, and then at the very end, she gives him this sort of in-your-ear smile that must drive AT&T execs absolutely bananas. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Radio Free Oklahoma. Actually, originally from Texas, but we're all the same to pretentious intellectuals.
Mm-hmm.
Art, now you were saying last night that you didn't think Buchanan had a chance against Clinton. I disagree.
I know.
I mean, you know, they're going to go after, if Buchanan won the nomination, they're going to go
all right,
after
right, but that, first of all, that's a pretty big if.
Well, you know, they were importing people from all over the country into Iowa, so Pat held his own, in my opinion. Most of those people that...
Oh, I don't disagree. I mean, look, I think it was 19%, wasn't it? That's a damn good showing.
Right, and even on Meet the Press, one of the guys said that, you know, most of the people that voted for Buchanan were Iowans. So, you know, he held his own.
Look, let me tell you, I could still get behind Pat Buchanan. He's the only one that I'm even flirting with getting behind. And the rest of them right now,
I know you're, yeah, I know, but I wanted to kind of bring up Gingrich because I know that, you know, you're thinking about voting for him too. But you remember when, you know, I was calling it Benedict Gingrich for the crime bill, right?
I remember, yeah.
And, you know, but Gingrich is, it's not only the crime bill and the assault weapon ban, but GATT and NAFTA. I know you were for NAFTA, but you said now that you would, you know, you change your stance on NAFTA.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that I would change my vote given the same conditions when NAFTA was passed. I said, because of the devaluation, we ought to get the hell out of NAFTA now.
Right, but at the same time, Gingrich could have stopped the Mexican bailout. So, I mean, you really got to wonder where his heart really is.
No, sir, he could not have.
Well, they could have done... You know, so you're saying that Clinton could have just done it, railroaded through with the executive order that they passed?
Well, he did. I mean, Gingrich could have tried to stop it, but the octopus would have put him 10 feet down.
Yeah, probably, but he didn't even really make an attempt, did he?
Well, look, it was going to be done, Gingrich, Dole, or anybody, over everybody's objections, and that is the way it was done, in fact. Thank you. And I'm not, that doesn't condone it. That just says I know exactly how it was done. So do the rest of you. It was done by the president. Boom. Signature. Done. Done deal. Stupid, but done. Ineffective, but done. You don't hear much about it now. Mexico's still in terrible economic trouble. And our money did not rescue them. It was obvious at the time, and it's obvious now. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Art Bell, how you doing?
Reasonably well.
I've got something for you.
Okay.
On the menu of food for thought.
Yes.
In regards to Gordon Scallion, obviously he's not the first person in the world, history of the world, that had the ability to do this.
No, there's Edgar Casey, another very famous.
Okay, if you can imagine Genghis Scallion from Upper Mongolia in prehistory explaining the geophysical problems in geography that he had no knowledge of and what they were saying to him.
Mm-hmm.
Two, in the light of Noah's Ark discovery,
yes.
What do you think Noah called the quickening?
Wet.
And one more thing.
Yes.
I got a book title for you.
Call toll free 1-800-618-8255.
Or
No book titles. I think I've decided on the book title. And it was given to me by a caller, not quite. There was more to it than that, but look, this is an autobiography, right? That I'm writing. I should tell you, I'm about done. The book, in all likelihood, will be out in late October or early November. It is going to be a blockbuster. I think you're going to, you know, everybody says that, hyping books, right? But it will be. And what should a book title do? For, in my estimation, it should be short and sweet. It should say what it is. And give the person who will glance at it quickly an idea of what it's about. So, I like the art of talk myself. And I keep getting suggestions, and you're welcome to send them by fax or any other way. I'd rather not have them on the air because it'll turn into something that I can't control. But the one I like is the art of talk. You know, it's short, it's simple, it's descriptive, and I have yet to run into anything that I like better. That doesn't mean that's what it's going to be. That simply means that it's going to probably be that, unless I run into something a lot better. It's hard to think of. You write the whole book, and then you're still stuck trying to think of the title. Weird, huh?
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from August 24th, 1995.
Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Charlie.
Hello.
Lebron, California. Let me say, you know, I've been listening to some of these right-wingers calling in, talking about how disappointed they are with the Republicans who are lined up against Clinton. Now, let me say something. It's not the Republicans who are lined up against Clinton. I think what it is that it's the Republican theme. As long as the Republicans have the same old stuck in the mud, old lines, it's not going to matter who they run. They're still going to lose. And I don't think, I mean, these guys who are running, you've got Lamar Alexander, you got Graham, they're all conservative. None of them are Kennedys, but who the hell is?
At least they've got ideas. The Republican Party is the party of ideas, sir. That's what got them elected November 8th.
No,
they have carried through with an awful lot of what they said they were going to do.
Well,
and so it's a matter of personalities.
The Republicans, actually, they haven't carried out with a lot of what they said they could
do. Yes, they have.
Started out, maybe, name a couple of things. I mean, they started out with trying to get a couple of budget things through, but they basically haven't gotten a lot through. That's why you're basically going to see a log jam in October when Bill Clinton vetoes a lot of their stuff.
I didn't say the president wouldn't veto it. I said they have kept their promise, and they have.
No, well, that's what they did is they passed a lot of stuff in the House, then when it went to the Senate, it got all screwed around, which is exactly what a lot of Democrats were saying. But the Republicans are not a party of ideas.
Sure they
are. Yes, they are.
The worn-out, unworkable ideas are those of people just like you, liberals, disproven, discredited.
Let's look at what the Republicans have done. All they do is they are against stuff. They're not for anything. They are against environmental protection. They are against health care. They
wrong.
Are against providing grants for kids.
No. They're just against your concept of those things.
No.
You're
what
confused.
And well, I think Ronald Reagan put it best. He said that the government. What was that line? Government that governs least. And that's what they basically think. They don't want the government to do anything. And if the government doesn't do anything, they don't have any ideas.
In many cases, that is exactly right. Government that governs least governs best.
Well, I think it's simply called not being able to use government in any way and just sitting on their butts and giving money to the military and to the rich.
If there's anybody in any ideology that promotes sitting on butts, it is yours.
Well, I don't know about that.
It even sends out checks to ensure.
You guys are the ones that want to give welfare to the cigarette companies, that want to give welfare. You guys want to give welfare to the rich, and that's
right.
What it's all about.
All right, thank you. Well, when you give breaks to the rich, people with money, then you create jobs. Now, you choose to call that welfare, but, for example, if somebody's able to sell something and not get raped by tax, then they take that money and reinvest it. And they're the ones who have the power to do that, create jobs. So you may call it welfare for the rich. I call it investing in the future for America and the creation of jobs for those people that you claim you want to represent. But in fact, your real constituency are the people sitting on their butts getting the check from people just like you every month. That's your real constituency. That's why you never really talk about welfare unless you talk about welfare for the rich, welfare for corporations. Don't want to talk about welfare for the people. Because those are the only people that about you've got left to vote for you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Art. This is the Agile Independent out of Austin, Texas.
Yes, hello.
Sorry, I haven't called in a while, but I was detained.
Detained?
Yeah, I don't want to go into that.
Okay.
I've had a unique experience with gun control.
Oh.
And I've changed my mind about it and come up with a different idea.
Well, I can't recall your original position. What was it originally?
Basically yours. But I now believe...
Yes.
I'll just sum it up like this. A friend of mine was released from a mental hospital.
Yes.
His wife was afraid of him. She came to my house because they were both my friend.
Yes.
I cooperated, and because I wouldn't say anything bad about him, I got to do a little time in the slammer. It's all worked itself out. But
well, I see you weren't going to tell us about that. Now you did.
Well, no, I'm not telling you his name or anything like that.
Thank you. I don't want it.
Yeah, he wasn't well when he did it. He was my friend, and he's still my friend.
Well, look, one of the disqualifiers, sir, I've got to run because we were here at the bottom of the hour. For anybody having a firearm, is mental instability. So, I don't want anybody who is mentally unstable to have a gun. Thank you very much. That only makes common sense, and I'm all for it. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from August 24th, 1995.
Broadcast presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from August 24th, 1995.
Everybody sending faxes, hold up. My poor fax machine has had an internal hemorrhage, and I'm working on it during the breaks here. Probably get it going here in the next half hour, but poor little thing, just, you have no idea, how many faxes I get, so hold up, I'll let you know. Actually, you can still send them, we'll go into memory and print as soon as I get it going. Well, I got ink all over me. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. This is Ellen of Portland, KEX.
How you doing?
I'm just calling to tell everybody that that Roswell film on Monday night
yes.
is going to be the Encounters Hidden Truth program, and they're calling it Alien Autopsy.
And what time does it come
8
on?
8 o'clock Pacific time.
8 o'clock Pacific.
But it may be a different time, you know, in the other time zones.
I
mean, they may have it a different time of the evening. But...
Or it may be 8 o'clock in all time zones.
Right,
except
right.
Except Rocky Mountain.
It might be. I saw the rerun program, and I know for sure because they advertised it last Monday.
Well, I can't wait.
Neither can I.
How do you think they will handle it?
In good taste, like they usually do. I'm sure they will. I've been watching their program for over a year now, and I've been quite impressed with them.
Okay, well, that really is important. I wanted to get a fair, you know, it ought to almost just be a presentation, and here you all decide for yourselves.
Right, and I want to tell you, those pictures did shock me. I get your newsletter.
Ah.
And I listen to all this talk, you know, about how they're going to look, but you're never prepared until you actually see them.
It's true.
I'm even leery about just showing them to anybody, you know, that wants to see them.
No, it's true, and I've got a building curiosity, you know, about how America. How do you think America's going to react?
There's going to be a lot of people. Some people that will go out of their head, but there'll be a lot of disbelievers. But there's going to be a lot of people like me. And it's only been since last December that I've been open to this type of thing. I poo-pooed all of it before.
Sure.
But I'm a thorough believer, a total believer now. I've even got an MD doctor that's become interested in your program and subscribes to Gordon Michael Scallion now. And he's definitely an MD, a scientist. And I think if people like him are becoming open, then a lot of people are. So, and he's going to be watching the program, too. So.
All right. Well, it's a biggie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. I would never make such a statement. I'm not an absolute believer. These photographs are going to... particularly the moving photographs are going to shake up a lot of people, I believe. We'll see. Or maybe it's true that there's been so much done on this subject that our heads have been so filled with ETs and the idea of extraterrestrials and all the rest of it that there will not be much of an impact. But I tend to believe the other way. By the way, I'm going to be on KFYI, I think... just after 5 o'clock in the morning this morning, doing an interview, and I suspect they're going to be asking about that. And I am intrigued, and those of you that have been privy to our newsletter, I would be interested in your opinion of how you think the American public is going to react. So, by the way, while we're on the subject, the next, you still got time to get subscribed before the next newsletter comes out, and it is going to have one whale of a spectacular photograph of Hale Bopp, the comet. Very spectacular. It's going to have a photograph of my studio, the one from which I broadcast right now. And let me see, there's something else. What else are we putting in there? Oh, Max the Crystal Skull. That'll be in the next newsletter. Along with, and you know, I mentioned these photographs because I want you to see them, and they're in the newsletter. But there's so much more in the newsletter. It is a substantial publication, and the price is going to go up to $39.95. And I'm giving you fair, adequate warning right now. You can subscribe right now or renew at the price of $29.95 and save yourself $10. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, go ahead.
No, sir. You've got it backwards. You go ahead.
All right, this is Joe.
Yes, Joe, where are you?
In Missouri.
In Missouri.
And I would admit that the little girl on MCI, she is very cute.
Ah.
But my favorite telephone commercial goes back one before the present AT&T with the girl that you can't figure out what nationality she is, black, Hispanic, Polynesian. Now, that is the cutest girl I've seen.
I do remember that, as a matter of fact, and you're right, she was also very cute. But right now, the MCI girl is...
Oh, I can't deny that.
And, you know, how does AT&T answer? I'm sure they're sitting in their boardrooms now, and the advertising agencies are scratching their heads trying to figure out how they answer that.
Well, they better go back and get that other little girl. She was so cute.
In other words, you fight cute with cute.
Pardon me?
I said, in other words, you fight cute with cute.
Yes, absolutely.
I've got you, partner. All right, thanks. That's the view from Missouri. She is. She just, the girl on the, I don't even know why I'm spending so much time on this, but she has such a wholesome, cute, almost hard to really put into words, almost too cute. I'm sure AT&T thinks that, too cute. I bet it really boils their blood. I mean, her little smile at the end is so perfect. It's not too much of a smile. It's not too little of a smile. It's just a sort of a we gotcha smile. I wonder, again, I wonder how many takes it took. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Now, this is Kogo, Escondido, California.
Howdy.
How you doing?
I'm just fine, sir.
Well, we've got that comet into our computer now, and it plots it really nicely on the sky.
Oh, is it something else or what?
Well, we're going to get a picture of it next month for Mount Wilson.
Well, that should be something.
Well, see, we can lock on it, we can acquire it, and then track it, and then take a picture of it and bring it back here to our local high school. Well, what I was going to ask is, why don't you get a real comet expert on one of your shows, like Shoemaker, Dr. Shoemaker, or David Levy, who's worked a lot with comets?
Well, I've had them on Dreamland.
Oh, they've been on Dreamland.
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, I think they ought to come back and explain what this thing is.
Well, you know, nobody really knows that well just yet. They're still trying to figure out whether she's been around before or not. They're not certain. They're still computing the trajectory, and I've heard estimates from 0.7 AU to 1.5 AU. They're still a little unsure. They don't know about the composition of it, how much rock, how much ice, all the rest of that, whether it's 100 miles or 1,000 miles. Latest estimates say 100 miles. If it's 100 miles in diameter, it's still a really big comet.
Yeah, it's more like a planetoid.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's not closer to Jupiter. You know, Jupiter could give it a nudge. And
well, it's got gravitational influences to, and who knows whether they've calculated them all. I mean, how many times have you ever heard scientists say, one day one thing, and the next day, well, late studies and recent observations now show us that the following is true.
Well, you know, those comets are very bad, too, because when they give off, when they outgas, that acts like a small thruster, and it can kick it one way or another, up or down, left or right.
Now you're going to scare people.
I'm mostly worried about Jupiter. I'm glad to see it. It's pretty far away from Jupiter, but under its influence.
Yeah, that's right. All right, thank you. And it has to move through the asteroid belt, doesn't it? So there's going to be various pulls and tugs on it there as well. And you know, everybody who's anybody is saying it's going to miss Earth. What do they know? I tend to think they're probably right, and the odds of it missing are much greater than of it hitting. But I think the timing of it and the size of it and the location of it and all of that is very fascinating, and I guess that's all I'm going to say about it right now. You be sure and get our newsletter. You take a look at that thing. It's something. Against a star field, It's very impressive, and the photograph is going to come out very well. So, anyway, you want to get that newsletter. If you don't have our newsletter yet, I can't imagine why. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
KQMS, Reading, California.
Well, hello.
Is this Art Bell?
No. No, I'm a clone.
You know, I don't think that Hillary should go to the Beijing thing either.
Because of?
Well, because of the way they treat their women. That's exactly that. It's terrible. I mean, you know.
I can tell you one thing. If you were a Chinese girl, you'd be having a rough ride.
Oh, are you kidding? I wouldn't be Chinese. I just wouldn't.
Well,
I know, I would have a rough ride. I'd make a terrible Chinese woman.
Well, you would have been drowned like a little puppy long ago.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, Arthur, why do you want to talk to a witch?
I don't know. You know, I'll tell you the witch I want to talk to, okay? I don't want to talk... All the witches, when people call them and say I'm a witch,
mm-hmm.
they say I'm a white witch. They're all white witches. You know, I'm a good witch. I'm a good witch. I want to talk to a witch who practices the black arts.
Oh. Why?
I don't know. I want... Because I'm curious, I guess.
For
the reason I want to interview a lot of people who are strange and different, because I'm a curious person.
Hey, they're not aliens. They're just strange humans. That was very funny. Listen, I need your advice.
All right.
I saved a baby kitty from the pound.
Yeah.
And remember how you said that your cat was scared to death of yours? You ought to see my cat. You know, it's a big cat.
Yeah.
He runs and hides under the bed and makes these noises that I have never heard come out of him before.
I know. So does mine. And also, I'm telling you, my big cat is so angry at me.
Oh, does he have, like, attitude?
An attitude doesn't even do justice. You listen on the air. This is really something. I've been meaning to say something about this. Here we've got this new female lover of a cat. I mean, this cat loves all human beings. It's unbelievable. She comes up and grabs you and hugs you around the neck. I mean, she is that lovable. She even loves my big cat. She goes over and licks him, tries to be friends. He bites her. She goes away. But the worst of it is, the worst of it, is that my big cat, who has loved me, always been my friend, hates my guts now. I mean, this cat hates my guts. It's like he's holding me responsible for bringing her into the house. And when I go over and pet him now, he makes noises like that, right? And then if I keep petting him, he will hiss at me. Now, he would be on my lap just like that any other time, right? But now, do you know why he comes on my lap? Only so that he can sit there for one moment and then extend every rear claw he has and launch himself like the space shuttle from my lap. My legs, like right now, are like shredded wheat. I'm not kidding. It's to the point now where I know he's so angry at me, I won't let him get on my lap. I mean, this cat is ticked off. And I can't understand why. Except that I brought this other cat into the house. I mean, it was the both of us, my wife and I, we both brought him home, but he's angry at me. This is not light anger. This is a vendetta. This is, if I could scratch your eyes out, I'd do it. You're bigger, so I'm not. But I'll get you when I can. I mean, he is really angry at me. I don't know what to do about it.
You are listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from August 24th, 1995.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, good evening, Art.
Hi.
This is the Bagman in Seattle.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to run something by you, see what you thought about it.
Okay.
Imagine taking two big plates of steel, very smooth, together, and rubbing them on top of each other. And then vibrating them. I heard the earth vibrates at about 7 hertz. Is that proper?
Very low, yes.
Okay. Now, I've heard the frequency has gone up in the last 100 years, and it's now about 8 hertz. And the higher the frequency, the easier it is to move these steel plates. So what I'm getting to is plate tectonics.
I understand.
And I was wondering if you thought that had anything to do with it.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, it's an interesting theory, but, you know, I have no idea. I mean, I'm not sure what answer you expected. It's an interesting theory.
Mm-hmm.
And as good as anybody else's.
Okay, one other thing.
Yes.
Back in the 70s, when I used to do drugs, and I don't do them anymore, we used to call the drugs sunshine, paradise, that type of thing. It's really amazing how it's changed.
LSD.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Potter.
Take care. Yeah, you know, he's got a good point there. They were, do you remember that? They were called Sunshine? Remember, what was it, orange barrels? Remember little orange barrels, barrels of sunshine? Anybody remember those? And today they call them names like Suicide, and somewhere I've got all the names here. They're awful, this new heroin they're selling. Body Bag. Now, there's a good product, Dave. Something you want to ingest right away. Give me a little Body Bag. Well, it's selling like crazy, I'm sorry to say. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
I'm doing.
Good. You know, Blue, I got a couple things, but the comet. I keep hearing you guys talking about the comet.
Right.
I read a book. It's out now. You can find it in a Catholic bookstore. It's called The 3 Days of Darkness. It's written by a priest.
Yes.
And it's like kind of a prophecy thing or something. I can't even remember now. I read it a couple years ago. But anyway, it says we'll be in darkness for 72 hours, and people that are, let me just tell you this. We could be knocked out of our orbit, you know, from with that comet.
That'd be bad.
Yeah, but I mean, we wouldn't be destroyed. We'd just be knocked out of our orbit. We'd be in darkness, and then maybe somehow get back on orbit or something like that.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, but anyway, that's another theory on the comet.
All right.
It's not going to be a fatal thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you were talking about...
Well, now, I assure you, ma'am,
mm-hmm?
Being knocked out of orbit would be fatal.
Oh, yes. Would it actually be fatal? I mean,
would we crash somewhere?
I mean,
fatal.
We'd just
dead.
Be in the universe floating around.
Give you a rushism room temperature for all of us, ma'am. Yes. Being knocked out of orbit would be very bad. The ecology on Earth that supports mankind, the temperatures, the weather, the whole shebang here, is dependent on our distance from the sun. Now, should that be changed radically, we would either boil or freeze, one of the two. But it would not take a great many degrees of change to... ascend us all to room temperature, believe me. Not to mention the impact of anything large enough to actually knock us out of orbit. No, that would not be good, man. Not good. Not good. You're on the air, coast to coast, AM with Art Bell. Hi.
Hey, Art. How you doing?
Okay. Where are you?
Charleston, South Carolina.
All right.
I heard on the news, did you hear about the fire in the sky they saw? I think it was over Michigan and across New York tonight.
No, you mean these occurred tonight?
Tonight. I think they said they thought it was like a meteor.
Really? No,
yeah.
No.
You hadn't heard that. I just heard it in the news at 4 Eastern.
4 Eastern.
Yeah.
Okay, that had been last hour then.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, I'd not heard that. They believe it was an asteroid or a meteor.
Right, that's what the newscaster said. You know, they said that perhaps they thought it was a meteor, but, you know, didn't know at this point.
Well, we all know better than that. They're pods, sir.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Pods. Yeah, pods. Remember, what was it, the big movie about? I can never...
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Thank you. Yeah, where the pods came down and they jumped on your face and stuff.
Exactly. That sounds a lot more believable to me.
Well, I got one for you.
All right.
You know the fires in Long Island?
Yeah.
It's probably where it landed.
I think so. They said it landed in New York, I thought.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
There you are.
You got it.
I'm getting so good at conspiracies and theories about things that I can pop them out one after another.
I like the thing about the octopus and the water and everything. That all just tied right together.
Yeah. You see, it's the first time I've heard of the octopus government, but I like it because, you know, it's kind of got image. I mean, you could almost see a podium where the great seal of the octopus would be.
Yeah, it would be great, a great symbol, you know. And I love the Watergate and all that. Just all just fit perfectly.
There are people who take me constantly the wrong way. You've got to listen to me. I've got a very dry, kind of weird,
right. Weird
sense of humor. I appreciate your call. Thank you.
All right.
We're coming up on the hour, and I'm going to go see. I'm going to take another stab at my fax machine. You're listening to the best in live overnight spontaneous talk radio from Octopus Central. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from August 24th, 1995. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from August 24th, 1995.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell, and this is Open Line Unscreened Talk Radio. I have very mixed feelings about machines. Maybe somebody was right when they were talking about it being from the devil. I'll have a new attitude in the morning, I'm sure. Or a new machine. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Art. I was wanting to maybe speak to you about the O.J. Simpson trial.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I believe if everything goes the way the Los Angeles County prosecution has in the past, I believe they're going to have maybe a loss on their hands this time. You've got they might have to restructure their the prosecution's the whole department, at least, because they might have to do something about that. The police department also, of course, Willie Williams with his tape message to all the police officers. But you got to think, the Menendez brothers, what happened? They have to retry them.
Yep.
They have to.
I don't think they're going to get an opportunity to retry OJ because I think he's it's going to be an. He's going to come back not guilty.
Right.
I'll bet you.
Okay. So how would we rate the L.A. prosecution team as far as all together?
I rate them actually rather high. There's nothing wrong with the prosecution team.
Okay.
In my opinion, they've been ambushed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, the way I was thinking was maybe they were poor, but, you know, I'm looking at it from across the country as far as on TV and everything, and
But sir, again, let me say again, they're not poor. The prosecution is not poor. Much as I may have complained at times about Marsh Clark's persona, she's been very effective. You listen to me very carefully when I say this. I don't know that I feel that way about Chris Darden, but even he is pretty good at what he does. Marsh Clark's very good at what she does. And if this case is lost, I'm not going to blame it on Marsha Clark. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be Marsha Clark's fault. It's going to be Mark Furman's fault, my opinion. If Mark Furman lied, that's the case. York's got one avenue she can go down, the one I talked about a little while ago, and that is going after Furman just the way the defense is, and then backtracking and saying, but look, we should have a guilty verdict here based on the evidence, even take away what Furman testified to and disregard it. If you believe the man is a racist, if you believe the man, as a result of hearing these tapes, is any of this, then fine, disregard what he said and simply look objectively at the rest of the evidence. Then they've got a chance. Not a good one, but a chance. And I bet that's exactly the tactic they will use. You will see one damn angry Marsha Clark when Furman's back on the stand if that evidence is damning. And she'll have a right to be angry because her case is going down the old Tuberino. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Okay.
Here's just a little speculation for you or something just to throw at you.
Yes.
What if O.J. Simpson team bought off Mark Furman? They knew about the tapes before the whole thing and paid him to lie on the stand.
Well, then that would be a capital offense. Since this is a capital crime, that would be a capital offense, and so I don't believe it for a second. In other words, sir, they could get capital punishment for doing something like that.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Did you get a map today?
Did I?
A map faxed to you?
Oh, yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
With two marks on it?
Yes.
It's a Washington State map. And I'll tell you that it was seen by both times by five people.
Yeah.
Okay. And you'd like to know about that.
Why? What does it mean?
There's two marks on the map. There's
you said
two,
that. What do they mean?
Well, they're two UFO sites.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I see. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah, there's a whole lot of sightings going on up in the Northwest. Bunch of sightings. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
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 This is Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
KSOO, yes.
Yeah. And I have been trying to phone you for so long.
Well, I'm glad you got in.
Yeah, because this is the first time I've phoned anyone since Alan Berg was on.
Oh.
And that's been a long time ago.
That's right.
And you had mentioned one time about weather, and it sounded like you were kind of questioning whether that could possibly be that they could control it. But I remember years ago, and that's how come I had phoned Alan Berg, was because in the Science Digest or Science Mechanics,
right,
and they had a thing there where Tesla had suggested that they might be able to control it.
That's right.
With some type of atmospheric wall. So I was wondering if you knew about that, because it sounded like you kind of questioned that they would be able to.
Well, I still do. Yes, I am aware of that, and very much have looked at Tesla technology. Have you seen it demonstrated to work?
Pardon?
I say, have you seen it demonstrated to work?
No.
No?
Nope, I just read about that.
Right, so then what I'm saying is you should doubt it too until you know.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Then one of the other things I was wondering on these circles, crop circles.
Yes.
I wonder if anybody's ever related them to the petroglyphs. So many of them look like some of the petroglyphs that I've seen.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something else they look like. Thank you for the call. Somebody sent me the doggonest thing, and I'd love to have you call me, whoever sent that. It's in glass. It's in a glass tube. And I would say it's about 15 inches long. And that's just a guess. Might be 12, 13. Inside the glass tube, there is a white strip with the symbols on it that were allegedly taken from the debris at the Roswell crash. You know what they look like? They look like petroglyphs. Petroglyphs. Now I'm not even saying it properly. They look like those writings on rock of old. I can never say that word properly. petroglyphs. Is that correct? And there's just something hauntingly familiar about it. Maybe you'll get to see it. My understanding is they may show that on the 28th when they show the Roswell film. Don't miss that. Don't forget the 28th. We understand 8 o'clock. Check your local listings Monday night, the 28th. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi there. I sure would like to get my hands on one of those tiny purplish eye beams from the Roswell thing. Is that what you got, or did you just get a strip of paper in the glass?
Well, no, it's not paper, and it's in liquid. It's kind of strange.
It's in liquid?
Yes, sir.
So the person that sent it to you put it in that thing?
I have no way of knowing that.
Oh, you mean it could have been? It could have come that way from the craft?
Sir, I have no idea what I have here. I'm just telling. I described it to you. It's in a glass tube, sealed.
Yeah.
And there's liquid in there, and there is a white something. It's obviously not paper in liquid. It's a solid material of some sort.
Wow. I was just wondering if you had any idea where the average person out here could get a hold of information about the archaeology going on at the Ark.
Well, I will bring you what there is to bring as it comes to me. You keep listening to this program. I've got access to just about every information source you can imagine.
Great.
And they're doing the dig now.
I love it, love it. But they've known about this for some time.
They have, but conditions have never been right, and they've never been ready. Now they are.
Turkish government wouldn't let this, several different people go up there. At the turn of the century, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, a young guy named George Hagopian, I think his name was led by his uncle up the mountain Ararat there. I think it's called Mount Mizir in Sumerian. It led up the mountain to go on to this ark, and he climbed on top and saw these, I don't recall now whether there was a big hatch in the top and some little slits along the top edge. Anyway, there have been reports over the years that it was broken in half and half of it fell down the mountain.
No, I've seen the satellite imagery, and it is appears to be intact.
I wanted to mention one other thing about your facts. Why are you using, inkjet? Why don't you use a thermal fax? No ink.
Well, that's right, but because of what I'm doing, I want plain paper. I'm using plain paper. And
Does it have a feeder that just puts one sheet in at a time for you?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one last point. You can accept this or not. Art and soul. Yeah, have a nice night.
Yeah, goodbye, sir. Art and soul. Art and soul. But see, that doesn't say it the way the Art of Talk does. What does the Art of Talk do? It's, first of all, it's a great devil, isn't it? The Art of Talk. The Art, as in Bell, of Talk. It gives my name. And it says what I do. All in one simple, easy to understand. I just like the Art of Talk. Now, the Art of Soul is all right, but it doesn't as directly, specifically say what it is I do. Maybe it suggests what I have, and I hope I have one, but not what I do here, and that's what the book is about.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Jim in Oregon City.
Hi, Jim.
How are you?
Fine.
That's good. I've been trying to reach you for some time.
Well, I'm glad you got through. What's going on?
There's a little problem, apparently, with the modulation when you're talking with people on the phone.
Oh, no.
I was wondering, nobody has mentioned it before. Maybe it's just me, but I'm getting it in the car radio.
What are you getting?
It's a ringing sound.
Well, sometimes, actually, I hear that on you. I don't hear it on a lot of other people, but I am hearing it on you.
Hmm. I get it on the Satellite 700 that I got from the Sea Crane Company as well.
Well, that's because it's probably there. What radio station are you listening to?
KEX? KEX.
In Portland?
Yes.
Well, there's a natural sort of ringing in phone connections generally, but I do hear a little bit on you right now, kind of a very hard to describe sort of after sound. Is that what you're hearing?
That's what I'm hearing, but it, when I'm not using the phone but just listening to the radio, I get it when someone is calling you and every word that they modulate, you know, has that after ring to it.
Okay, that's interesting, and I appreciate the comment. Now, let me pick up another line. Hi there, West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
This is Farron, the atheist in Fairhaven.
Fairhaven, where is that?
Washington.
Washington. Okay, sir, Mr. Atheist, you're going to have to speak up good and loud, because you're
hard. Well, I should, because I have something very important to say.
All right, go ahead.
It's been said before about 120 years ago and several times since then, but it's time to say it again because it's finally becoming philosophically true. That is, God is dead.
You believe that?
I look around and I see and I smell the decomposition of the deity.
Hmm. Not me.
Not you?
No. I think you're making an awfully gigantic leap there based on the performance of mankind, or your disappointment at the deity and not stopping what's going on, and you're disregarding the concept of free will. So I don't think God is dead, no.
Besides,
an atheist wouldn't say God is dead. An atheist would say there never was one.
Well, it's meant somewhat poetically, not to be taken literally. Nothing in the realm of religion can be taken literatim.
Well, maybe we could just call you a creationist in mourning.
recovering Sunday school student.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, remember, sir, there's a great circle, and you're just in part of the travel right now. You'll come back. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Dean from Seattle.
Hi, Dean.
How are you doing tonight?
Okay.
I'm glad for that. you know how everybody's talking about the end of the world, and you call it the quickening, and I see it more as there's more...
I'm not... Look, I want to...
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't call it the end of the world.
I'm not even saying the quickening is leading to the end of the world.
Right.
But something's coming.
Well, yeah, but I also see it as just, there's so much, everybody's got a camcorder, it seems.
Yes.
And the information age, you know, we're just coming to birth on an information age. And it's just an overflood of it. They've always been happening. It's always been there. Maybe different from the weather. I mean, that's different. But like on the killings and stuff, maybe they, just because of population densities, and it's been going on, it just hasn't been reported as intensely. And not many people have been listening to the news as much back 30, 40 years ago. So I don't think so.
I don't think 30 or 40 years ago we had daily accounts of people being pushed off bridges, children throwing children out of high rises, crack moms throwing their children out of windows, and I could dads gluing eyelids shut of 5-year-old girls. I could go on and on and on. I'm telling you, it is just my observation. Everybody keeps asking me about the quickening. I did an interview yesterday in Illinois. Sterling, Illinois, I might add, and that was one of the main questions about the quickening. And everybody out there can either think that I'm full of it, if you wish, that's fine, or accept it as a, simply a judgment of somebody who's been watching the news very carefully for a lot of years now, and I have, as simply an observation of fact. I do not say where it's going, what it is, or what it's from. Telling you it is happening. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, Art.
Morning, sir.
Hey, Art. K-Hal Radio over here in Denver is picking you up on the 28th.
Yes, I know that.
Okay, because I'm on K-Talk right now.
Uh-huh.
Say, Art, have you heard the Mutual UFO Network?
Of course.
Okay, they're running a trip over here to Roswell on the 9th of September to Roswell.
Yes.
And they're supposed to have all the four caskets over there on display.
All four caskets.
Uh-huh.
The original, supposedly, or...
The original four caskets there.
Wow.
Because the guy that, well, there's a farmer out there that all the debris was laid out there over a mile.
Yes.
And a sheep would not cross over the metal there. It was on the path of the, flight.
I don't think sheep will cross cattle guards either, will they?
Yeah. But anyway, it was in the newspaper here in Denver.
Uh-huh.
And it's a pretty nice article. But it seems like White Sands Missile Range ordered four caskets, and as soon as they found those people, whoever they were.
Well, that's what the story is.
Right. And they're supposed to have them on display over there on the 28th of this month.
Well, that would be something to see, and maybe after the broadcast on the 28th, why a lot more people are going to want to see it, wouldn't you think?
I would think so.
Mm-hmm.
But the trip is not too bad. It's $375 from Denver, which includes everything. We're going.
You're going to go, huh?
Yeah.
See the caskets?
Yeah.
Take photos?
No. Not really.
No?
No. I'll see them in your newsletter. There you go.
Yeah, everything like that eventually ends up in my newsletter. All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call. And have a wonderful morning. I'm going to go fight with that machine one more time. As for everybody else, they will take breaks, a deep Ito judge, a Judge Ito breath, and we'll be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
I hear the drums echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me toward salvation.
Okay, I got several quick things I'd like to talk about.
All right.
Okay, you haven't promised me a fax machine. I thought you advertised one of those Bob Crane fax machines.
Well, I do. This is also a Bob Crane fax machine. It simply happens to be plain paper fax, and we advertise that too, by the way.
Well, I just got my catalog from him, and I've got the gold roses. By the way, this is Alan from...
Well, Alan, if you just got the catalog, then you look up in there and see the new plain paper fax. It'll integrate, as a matter of fact, with your computer.
So are you saying you're ready to upgrade?
Well, I've had this fax machine online now for about a year and a half, and I'll let somebody out there do the math, but I get on average 200 to 300 faxes a night, every night, and that's over a year and a half. So somebody out there do the math, and we'll find out how many faxes. I think that if it works at all anymore, it's a testimonial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, security-wise, I heard you say, I've been running in and out of by the radio, and I heard you say...
Do the wild thing at 702-727-1295.
You said something.
You heard incorrectly, sir.
Okay, so there's no danger to you?
No.
Okay, that's good. And...
I mean, let's put it this way. There's lots of people out there who hate my guts.
I don't understand why, but...
Well, because, if there's 8 million... Let's say there's 8 million people out there listening, all right? And that's a realistic estimate. We're on about 204 affiliates. About 8 million people. If only 1/100th of a percent of the people hate my guts, that's still a fair number of people. You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand.
So I have means to protect myself. Good means.
Oh, I'm glad of that. And I'm staying up all night listening to you, and my wife goes to sleep every night. Does your wife keep any sort of hours to match your schedule, or do you...
It's kind of a combination. At the moment, she's... thanks for the call. She's sleeping very soundly. Many times she stays up and listens to the program, makes it, say, halfway through, or even all the way through, and... Because of the nature of the work that I do and the hours that I keep, it is all very erratic. Sometimes I will sleep a little bit in the morning, and sometimes not. Sometimes I will sleep at 1 or 2 in the afternoon, or sometimes I get barely any sleep at all. It's not a healthy sleep schedule. You know, there's no question about it. I do not have a healthy sleep schedule. And it is because... of events. I'm driven to monitor events, and the O.J. Simpson trial has disrupted my life now for a long time. And I, for one, will be very glad from a life point of view when it's over so that I can get a little bit of sleep. I'm magnetically drawn to it. I know that you can watch the little 30-minute summaries they give or were giving on CNN every night. But it's not enough. I am fascinated enough with it, drawn to it enough that I make it a point to get a little nap so I can get up to watch the O.J. Simpson trial until my eyes can't stand it anymore, and then I drop back off to sleep again. So that's typical, and my wife sort of mirrors that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art. How are you this morning?
Okay.
Did you receive that picture of the kitty that was transported all that way in that crate?
No.
Well, I sent it about over a week ago.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sure I've got it.
Well, I'm sure you did. Is your mother on Long Island?
Yes, she is.
Well, they're sure having a horrible time there. Did you find out any more about where Vesuvius and Etna were?
Yes, where the gentleman suggested they were, but he talked of two islands, as I told the man, to the north and south of Martinique.
Uh-huh.
If you listened.
Yes. Well, I didn't hear that because we're off the air in Kansas City now.
Oh, that's right. Uh-huh.
So, and I asked about Shadow the last time, and you told me to listen on the air, and of course you were gone.
Oh.
So I didn't hear it on the air.
Well, thing do is call me before, we just went off the air in Kansas City, 10 minutes ago or something.
I know,
right?
But I dial you, and I never can get in.
Well, Shadow's fine. My big cat is really angry at me.
Uh-oh.
I mean, it's like a vendetta. It's like he jumps up on my lap so he can scratch when he jumps off.
Uh-oh.
That's real anger. That's cat anger.
Oh, sure.
And when I pet him, he sort of growls at me.
He'll get even with you. Don't worry.
Yeah,
well, you have a good one.
Thank you.
You're making me an insomniac.
Well, I'm sorry. I guess. Thank you. Never know what to say to that. No, I'm sorry. I'm hooking you to this show, and but I'm really not, because we're trying to get people to listen. I mean, that's what we do here. So, you know, the daytime hours are cool to sleep in anyway. Who needs it? I like the night. I'm invigorated by the nighttime. I always have been. I would not be the same person during the day. In fact, I'm not. During the day, I am sort of different. It's the only way I can put it. When I've expended all the energy on this program that I love doing so much, during the day, I'm sort of very quiet. Different kind of person. Now, there will be an exception to that this morning when I get off the air. This machine and I are going to have a serious, serious discussion. Mm-hmm. Somebody do the math for me. That's about right. 200 to 300. Let's do an average of 200 faxes, all right? 5 days a week. That's 1,000 faxes a week times, that's 52,000 faxes a year, right? Times, I'm going to say almost 2 years. That's 104,000 faxes. That's 104,000 faxes. That's a lot. And I'll bet you I managed to fix it. I'll bet you. It's just a little ink jam somewhere. I'll figure it out. 104,000 faxes. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is a testimonial. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Carson, California, Art.
Hello, Carson, California.
Well, believe me, I have worn my finger to the bone on the redial button on my horrible phone.
Well, you made it through.
You know, I think the times my phone sounds horrible are the times you don't see hearing that ringing sound in your ear on the other end, because sometimes some callers have that sound coming over the phone line to you.
It depends on the connection.
Yeah, it does. Sometimes your phone ring sounds like a local ring, and other times it sounds like it's far away, like halfway across the world.
That's because it is. And the routing of phone calls, but I will say this of your phone. No matter how it's routed, it sounds terrible.
Well, thanks, Art.
You're welcome.
Anyway, am I understandable, or am I much on your end? Right,
I understand you, yes.
Good, good. I'm glad you understand me. I think it sounds terrible, too, but the receiver part sounds good. Anyway, I was wondering about the Monday night thing. What time is it going to be on?
8 o'clock Pacific.
8 o'clock?
That's what the lady said, yeah.
Oh, I see. Well, anyway, as far as the Gordon Michael Scallion tape that you were playing the other night.
Yes.
Is how far away is Martinique from Montserrat?
I don't know. Not tremendously far. I mean, it's in the same Caribbean area.
Uh-huh. Well, anyway, on the BBC, I tuned away about 1:30. They have the Science in Action program on my satellite, and I was able to pick that up on a local station here.
Yes.
And you might want to listen to that later on this week, because they have a story about Darwin playing the piano to earthworms.
Darwin what?
Charles Darwin played the piano to earthworms 100 years ago to test how they reacted.
And how did they react?
Well, when he played the piano and they were on a table away from the piano, they had no reaction at all. But when he put the container they were in on top of the piano and played it, they reacted. They went into their burrows.
In that case, Darwin probably should have concluded they were reacting to the vibration and not the actual sound.
Well, that's what the that's what they said on the program. And then,
well, see, there you are. I knew that, and I didn't even have to watch the show.
Well, they have some other interesting stories about a factor that the body produces that may actually help AIDS patients live with their virus for the rest of their life.
I've heard of that, as a matter of fact, and they're also, thank you, doing research on a bunch of prostitutes in Africa who should have AIDS and do not have AIDS, and the answer to AIDS may well lie with them. No pun intended. When you have somebody apparently immune to a disease, that kills everybody else, ultimately, you've got some serious investigation to do, and so they're looking into that now, and we'll see what they have to say.
Take Coast to Coast AM with you anywhere on your mobile phone. CoastToCoastAM.com can be conveniently accessed on your iPhone and most Android platforms, which means that you are never without your Coast to Coast AM fix. If you're a Coast to Coast Insider subscriber, you can listen to the show live in the middle of the night or previous shows 24/7. Plus, you can browse all the great photos, videos, and news stories. Keeping up with Coast to Coast AM has never been easier with our Coast Insider service.
Get a new view of the world with Coast to Coast AM.
At this point, I'm not happy with the direction that government is taking us. I'm happy with the fact that Americans are beginning to wake up and stand up and do what they have to do and shout and scream and blog. And I think that's critical. And I think that's what's going to save the republic. I think in the long run, as we go through all this stuff, it's the people who will save us and our country will remain strong.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM, from August 24th, 1995.
Wild Card Line, you're on the air.
Oh, morning, Art.
Hi.
Call from San Diego.
Yes, sir.
You know, about that guy called up the Age of Aquarius and all that water stuff.
Oh, yes.
I think he's all wet.
Well.
Also, Charlie called about the Republicans having no good ideas. But you notice the only ideas that he talked about were ideas that involve an activist government.
The only people that have been having ideas, in my estimation, are the Republicans.
That's right.
The Democrats, if they fail, are going to fail precisely because they have no new ideas.
They have some ideas, but they all involve the government being more active and taking more of a role in society.
In other words, pandering to the only constituency they've got left, the people utterly dependent on the government.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Art.
All right, right. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. They are bereft of ideas. When I say ideas, I mean new ideas. America, and anybody can see it. We've got to change. The direction we're going in is not good. We must change. I think people on both sides of the aisle know that we must change. Well, in what way? Do you want to get deeper in debt? No, I don't think so. That threatens our very existence now. Well, what got us into debt? Well, the policies that we've had for a long time. Liberal policies. So what are you going to do? Expand those ideas and the government and the money we spend? Well, that's going to take us down a sure road, huh? So the only people with viable, real ideas, serious ideas right now, are the Republicans. But remember, Bill Clinton is really good at taking somebody's idea and calling it his own. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
How you doing? I'm just trying to turn off my radio.
Yes, thank you.
This is Sue from St. Louis. I didn't think I'd get in anymore.
Well, you made it, Sue.
Okay, Republicans have one idea. Give every single thing to the rich.
No.
Yeah.
But Sue, that's just not true.
And then all the other ideas follow through for the rest of the people, and those are the liberal ideas.
Hmm.
Anyway, do you use up your ink real fast? Because
well,
we have an inkjet.
Do I use it up real fast? No, it takes quite a while,
no,
I would say.
We just have these little cartridges that go in.
Oh, well.
We have Packard Bell.
Little cartridges get used up quickly.
And we installed 95.
Oh, and?
Well, there was like 19 hours of hideous screaming for my son, and then he sort of staggered to his bed just a little while ago, and I said, well, God, what should I tell Art? And he said, no, it's evil. Says, 95 is evil. Just like what you were saying earlier, you know.
Well, I didn't say Windows 95 was evil.
Well, no, you were saying
I was,
that...
I was saying there was a guy on CNN who was saying that computers and the whole trip, the whole information age is evil.
Well, you know, you're not going to have any kind of window. Well, I don't know what you'll end up with, but it really takes over the whole computer.
Well, yeah, it's a new operating system.
Yeah, and I don't know. We lost a lot of our things originally, but I think you got them back. But it's pretty scary to go through it.
Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't wish it on anyone.
Well,
I think we were better off to the way it was.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Now you see why I'm sitting back.
I know. But I want you. I was hoping you'd just do it over the air. You know, go through all the. It'd really be funny.
Really be boring, actually.
Oh, no, not to me. It wouldn't be.
You just enjoy. See, one person has pain, and then they
there
enjoy.
There goes my thoughts. Oh, my God. You know, it'd just be really neat. You know, because, well, we just went through it, so I mean.
Nah, you don't want to hear somebody screaming and yelling on the radio. Thank you very much, Sue. No, that's a private moment between a man and his computer. Excuse me, Sue. Well, even in your case, it was your brother, you said. Computers become... Well, see, now I'm speaking nicely of machines, and I shouldn't be doing that because I'm angry at one at the moment. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Dr. Democrat.
Ah.
Well, good morning, Art.
Good morning.
The problem with the Republicans is they have no leader. The leader they had, Newt Gingrich, has been rejected by the American people.
No, he hasn't.
Certainly has. He's got an approval rating of 30%.
Well, that's...
But that's not rejecting, you know, rejection. I don't know what it is.
Uh-huh. Well, that's... I'll tell you, I still say he's the man who could beat Bill Clinton. You know, you're too...
No, he's too radical, Art. He's too radical. He's intelligent, but his ideas, his philosophy is too far right. And
no,
he's way out of the mainstream.
No, he isn't.
And that's why he can't get elected. The people know what he stands for. I mean, he pioneered the contract. And the guy who pioneered the contract has an approval rating of 30%. Something's wrong. I mean, people don't like him. And so it's either his philosophy or it's his personality. And I think it's a little bit of both.
Why do you think that the congressional rating for the Democrat Congress before we changed it around was even lower than that?
Well, because people are going to complain about the establishment. I don't care who's in there. Right now, the people don't
like
the
Republicans. Well, then apply that same philosophy to Newt Gingrich, then. And so there you are.
Well, there you are. But anyhow, how about that foreign diplomacy in China by Bill Clinton bringing Henry Wu back home? Wasn't that fantastic? This guy has brought Bobby Hall from North Korea.
Uh-huh.
He got the two men out of Iraq, and now Henry Wu. So Americans don't have to worry about traveling overseas.
Well, if anybody got Harry Wu out, it's Mrs. Clinton.
Well, she might have had something to do with it. And you know what? She's going to go to China, I bet. And you conservatives don't have anything to complain about now. Because before you were trying to use the excuse that Henry Wu was in prison over there so she couldn't go. Now what are you guys going to say? I mean, this women's conference is going to be a humdinger.
Well, I guess I would say... that a conference on women's rights in China is a joke.
I don't know. It's there's going to be about 40,000 women, I understand.
It's a joke, Doc. You know, you go to China and find out for yourself, Doc. There are no women's rights in China.
But anyhow, one last thing, Art.
But I mean, doesn't that mean anything to you?
Not to me, but...
Women don't have rights in China? That doesn't bother you, I guess, huh?
Well, they didn't pick China as a location. That was done before. But anyhow... Clinton has been so good to radio talk, Art. He's really helped he's made radio talk...
Now there, you have said a true thing, and finally you hit upon something. 4 more years of Bill Clinton for America might be tragic, but for talk radio, it would be wonderful. There's absolutely no question about it. Bill Clinton is consistently doing things that are just perfect fodder for talk radio. So, if you want to see more talk radio, and you want to see it blossom and bloom, then I guess you would vote for 4 more years of Bill Clinton. Frankly, I think talk radio will survive him, and America will survive Bill Clinton. Have a good morning. See you tomorrow.